Hello there, this is Colin Baker and you are listening to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast. And doesn't make... I'll do it again.
Yeah.
What you do in your private life is your own affair.
Right. Hello and welcome to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast, episode 417. I'm here in a pub with the Staggering Stories team. Please introduce yourselves for the benefit of our listeners.
I'm Faye Keith.
I'm Adam.
And I, yes, I am...
Two ciders in and a little bit squiffy.
Lucky you.
Yep.
So you've been on the Isle of Wight.
A few days, yeah.
Yeah.
Is it four?
Yeah.
4 days now?
4 days now. Yeah. Five.
You've got five. Since
Friday.
holiday.
Yeah.
We were just saying, we all live near Gatwick Airport, and none of us hear the aeroplanes anymore, but when you come here, you really notice that they're not there.
It's scary.
It's so peaceful.
It's so quiet. Aeroplanes.
No. You have an aeroplanes.
Yes, yeah. We have aeroplanes at Sandown Airport. They're little sort of buzzy things.
Oh,
that is
sweet,
no.
Isn't it? He's got a
couple. Yeah. I'm just scared. I'm under the blanket each night. Where's the nurse?
We have collihypters too.
Collihypters?
Oh, yeah, I've seen
someone's hurt, you'll see a collihypter go over.
Yeah, yeah.
The collihypters in Crawley buzz our garden a lot.
Yeah.
I think they're looking for criminals.
So it's yeah. Like where you live compared to where we are. Whenever something like a helicopter and that goes over, everybody runs out their house watching.
We just don't notice it.
Usually with the red arrows, it's like, you can hear them.
Yeah.
Well, there
we go.
Unless you're down the sea, you probably might get seen.
We're going on a ghost tour tomorrow.
Oh, that's the plan.
Would that be Apple Durkin House, is it? Or would it possibly be Carisbrook House?
We're meeting a man in a car park.
Somewhere in Newport.
We don't want to know about that, but we're thinking about the ghost tour.
We hope it's a ghost walk, otherwise we're going to get very surprised.
Maybe good.
Does this ghost walk chap sort of walk around with a sort of red coat and he's got a lot of... I don't know yet, do you?
We don't know. No idea.
There's a man who does ghost walks. He specialises in them.
Well, I hope he's good.
There's a few haunted islands.
So you've been told. Yes.
Everything seems to be haunted, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Well, Kirby seems. Kirby seems to think that the Isle of Wight is a couple of paces. I'm waiting for him. He thinks he's going to come one day with the crowdfunding.
Oh.
I'm going to say that he arrived at Ryde or something like that. Say it's only a little walk, Kirby. Just meet me in Cowes.
it's something we have noticed with the sat nav. Everything is 7 miles.
Yeah, everything about. We go to is 7 miles.
Everything.
When it's not. Yeah. 7.7 miles away, give or take.
This is Sylvester Mackay, and you're listening to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast.
So we're back to the journey, and we now have, over the usual methods of communication, Debbie Melrose.
Oh, quick quote. So much for science.
Slick. Mary Lang.
Bell plants. Very nasty.
Kirby Bartlett Sloan.
Chronic hysteresis? I hope not. Yeah, if it is, we'll be stuck here forever. Chronic hysteresis?
Oh, no.
If it is, we'll be stuck here forever. Chronic hysteresis?
Where's my bell?
Where's my bell?
Not that I want to press it, but I will be needing that, obviously, at some point, because Kirby's silliness has obviously reminded me that I need my... Oh, we can't do any points deduction this, because Deb's doing the quiz.
I can still do points deductions.
Oh, yeah, okay. I shall ask you to... hang on. What if you get points deductions? Oi! Do you mind?
Ooh, what's that?
That was somebody knocking a microphone.
No, sorry.
Yes, it was.
Yeah, I don't have one to knock.
Somebody had a very severe microphone incident there, and it wasn't me. So I've got one there and the one there. Anyway, back to the show.
Andy, where are you?
Anyway, yeah, thank you for listening and watching the show. Goodbye. Sorry?
It's on a table.
He's just justifying the fact it wasn't him.
Yeah, back to the show. Welcome back to the journey here at the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast. If I get my editing fingers together, the first part of the show should have been something of the time I spent with the Staggering Stories team at the Waverley in Carisbrook. However, the wind unfortunately sort of buffeted the microphone and ruined most of the recording, but I will try and salvage or should have tried to salvage some. I won't know until this actually goes out as an actual podcast. So anyway, here we are.
The wind. You should have stayed away from those beans.
What a predictable response that was. So we have we're on the, what do they call the fallout from the from Fantasy Con. Life sort of gets back to normal. We now have a certain amount of room in here. Doesn't contain cardboard boxes or sleeves with cardboard cutouts in them. I still have a pile of crisps behind me left over from the green room. Yes.
Will there be another one?
I don't know. I hope so. I can't guarantee. I know that of the three of us that are in charge of the convention, two of us would like to have another one. That the loudest and most important voice is not that keen, even though the loudest and important voice bought a cardboard cutout of River Song last week. So it always, life can be a bit confusing in the world of the convention arranging or organisation, but fortunately for us, we have 15 months with which to arrange it. So
we'll sort something out, won't we?
Sorry, Kirby, does that interfere with your plans?
No, 15. Why is 15?
Because normally we do it in October.
And it's 15 months till October 2020.
Oh, that would be awesome.
What do you mean? Oh, is that going to give you more time to save up to come over?
Yes, and also
there you go, then.
Cool to be there in October. Why not?
So I'm doing you a favour then, aren't I? Right, so we're back to the journey.
Except Black Ang Chine is probably not open.
Oh, no, it should be open.
It will be in the half term.
Yeah, it will be at half term, and then it will shut for the winter. Sorry, would you like me to arrange for them to make sure they're open for your time here on the island?
I definitely want to see it.
Yes.
That's what she said. Right, let's find out. I'm not going to do any jingles today. I can do that one.
On the stage.
Right. I'm going to switch my teas made on because I really do need a cup of tea.
A handy thing to have for podcasting.
So that's, might make a funny noise in the background, but I do need a cup of tea. And we're going to get on with the Return to the Journey of Megalos, or as the Americans call it, Megalos.
No. That's not what I call it.
Are you the Americans, or just one American in a country loaded with billions of them?
The thing is that if you watch it, you know how it's pronounced.
Well, people watch Dalek stories with Davros in it, and the Americans still call him Davros.
Oh, Daleks, yeah.
Daleks and Davros, yes. So it doesn't really make
Daleks,
it.
Daleks, yeah.
So Megalos begins.
Oh. It was... Speaking of Daleks,
yes.
I don't know if you pay attention to Dragon Con, which is going on this weekend.
I have seen pictures.
About McCoy.
About what?
Sylvester McCoy.
Oh, no, that was somewhere else.
Oh, okay.
I don't think he's at Dragon Con. I saw him pushing around someone in a Davros chair, but this was a cosplay of someone in a Davros chair dressed as Bob Ross.
Oh, I love that.
Well, I've seen a picture of Tony Reynolds as Scaroth with Sophie and Sylvester at a convention in the UK
DragonCon had basically Dalek Bob Ross.
But didn't DragonCon have like David Tennant and a few other sort of higher ranking Doctor Who celebrities?
Martha and
Catherine Tate.
Catherine Tate was there.
Freema Agyeman.
Wasn't Billy supposed to be there?
I don't know.
No, he's gone back to Australia. You can't expect him to go from Australia to staying in Britain for Fantasy Con, being slightly disappointed with the tat that he got as part of his VIP ticket, and then going back to Australia. T-shirt's on its way, Billy.
I'm seeing all these pictures of my local friends over having their picture taken with David Tennant and going, oh, I wish I could go.
Yeah, Jason Truong and Nicole are there, definitely.
Oh, yeah, they're the ones, all the dosh, and they must cost at least £150. You have your picture taken with all of them, which some people have. Oh, Tony Reynolds, was it Tony? Oh, somebody did. Oh, no, he's not in Dragon Con, he's in the UK.
Dragon Con is one of those bigger, more commercial cons, isn't it? It's not a fan
funded,
con.
Yes.
Right.
Corporate funded. Yeah. The money's there.
Technically, it is still fan run.
But they have corporate backing.
Corporate thing rather than
I'm going to mute you for a second.
Oh.
I apologise to the viewers who probably can't hear what anybody's saying simply because my tea's made is boiling up at the moment. But we're going to carry on. Is he going? So can we actually start the episode?
Yeah, go for it.
We have.
He's muting us, so obviously something's happening his end.
Oh, he's muting us.
What it was Julia just started calling. She forget since she's in Iowa, she didn't know what time it was here.
We'll go and ask Captain Kirk.
So yeah, exactly. But she is at a Renaissance fair right now, and I think cool. She wants all about.
Oh, we had one of those open up near here just this weekend.
I'd love to go to a proper American Renaissance fair. They look amazing.
We're 7 minutes into the show, and I haven't actually been able to start the subject matter of this particular episode.
Fine. Sorry.
Very, very naughty. Right then, so we begin with inside the TARDIS, and the Doctor and Romana operating on K-9, as per usual, as it seems to happen in the latter part of K-9's time on the show. And
JT wanted to get rid of K-9.
Did he? Anyway, so that's basically what the first part is. And then we cut to, is it Ty Geller? Is it the... Was it Nigella Lawson? No, sorry, no, Ty Geller Lawson, wasn't it? Where some people are wearing some very odd sort of white costumes with some sort of bleach blonde Beatles haircuts, reminiscent of, is it Space 1999, but not with purple hair? It's more of a sort of, no, it's not Space 1999, UFO. It was UFO, wasn't it?
UFO.
And I have to say that... Pardon?
I had to think then. I don't know why I thought it was Space 1999.
Okay. Anyway, there's three of the characters. One of them is a woman who I found, I will say now, throughout the whole story, extremely irritating because her acting wasn't particularly good. It was just not very good, and it wound me up.
She is ready.
I found it very, very distracting.
Not like that.
It may well have been her first job.
And on cue, we have... a teapot going off.
No, it's my tea's made. It's now. It'll go beep, beep, beep in a minute to tell me that it is at optimum temperature, and I can turn it off and let my tea brew.
Oh, that's lovely.
What's lovely?
Having your tea's made. It's so cute.
Yeah, well, I've got to empty the milk into my cup in a minute, so I might have to do that while you lot talk nonsense for a bit, which will probably be most of the episode, funny enough. Anyway, so...
Hey.
Oh, hang on, I'm beeping. That's just to tell me... Oh, now I pressed the wrong button. There we go.
Tea making. The
tea is just needs to brew.
Backing up, obviously.
So, yeah, so then some hoodie bloke wearing some sort of purple snood walks into the room and just make sure that everybody knows that he's one of the elders of this particular society. I've got a cough. And... no doubt, because I'm watching this without subtitles, there is mention of this dodecahedron thing, which is basically a three-dimensional shape with several sides. How many sides?
Several.
Dodeca.
Quite a few.
Lots, yeah.
More than I can remember.
Omnidoodlehedron, yes, it's... yeah. I mean, if a shape has enough sides to it, it'll actually be a sphere. Did you know that, Kirby?
Yeah.
Well done. Right, so then...
Dodecahedron was a character in The Phantom Tollbooth.
Thank you for that.
That's right, he was, yeah.
And then 3 minutes and 40-odd seconds in, we meet Barbara, who's in disguise in this particular story, wearing a purple sort of pinky outfit. And
Dodecahedron has 12 faces.
Thank you. And seems to have a ponytail actually stuck to the top of a hat.
A white one.
Yeah, rather bizarrely. Does look... yes? Yes.
You'll notice that
stop laughing. Not funny.
Did somebody interfere with some air?
I just thought it was a bit windy around here.
Everyone on this planet has white hair.
Do they? Oh, well, that's why. Oh, I see. But she couldn't be bothered to cut her hair. I see.
No, the group of the religious ones have long hair, and the savants have short hair.
You carry on. I'm just grabbing a handful of milks.
Fair enough. I'm just a bit alarmed about what that noise was, but never mind.
Oh, you know, this is a sort of faux leather chair. Sometimes if you sit in a funny way, it does tend to... what are you laughing at?
Sure, yeah.
Does tend to just doing some milk. Anyway, right, shall we go back to the story?
Julia's got a question.
I see.
completely unrelated to what we're watching. She says,
Lord like of the Rings dad, then.
Extended, Lord of the Rings extended edition DVDs, like the ones we got ages ago, $20. Should she get it?
No.
Why?
Well, I don't like Lord of the Rings. That's probably why.
Oh.
$20 isn't that bad. Is it the whole lot?
It's the whole lot.
Yeah, 20. Yeah, do it then.
Yeah, I would.
Well, like all six or all three?
Oh, we're not. The Hobbit was horrible.
Yeah, The Hobbit was crap, but yeah.
Okay, well, I haven't seen any of them, so probably just as well. Anyway, back to the story. So the vote is from more of an expert on Lord of the Rings, yes. But this did remind me, because obviously Barbara from Doctor Who, played by Jacqueline Hill, her character in this story was Lexa, and it kept on setting off every time it was mentioned, and confusing. A certain smart speaker, shall we say, that's currently residing in this room.
Well, that's why I don't use that name for that.
Oh, you use it because, just in case you happen to watch Megloss, because I won't have it saying the name that sounds a bit like Barbara's character of Megloss, because I watch Megloss so often it will confuse the smart speaker made by Amazon that's currently sitting on my desk.
I'll tell you why we don't use the name Alexa.
Mm. Will you not say that name? I told you, it will confuse her.
Oh, I did that deliberately, you know.
Yeah, right.
My wife once knew someone named Alexa she did not like, so she refused us to say the name. So we've named all of ours Echo.
So let's just a recap here. We're now 13-odd minutes into the episode, and we've done 5 minutes of the story. It would be actually quicker to do a proper commentary on this episode or story than the way we're doing. So that means the more you slow things up, the more I'll paraphrase and miss stuff. So here we go. Right, let me say. She turns up to be a bit of a snooty character, this Barbara. I mean, Lexa.
She's snooty to the man wearing the snood.
Yeah, they sort of, I reckon they've got a secret thing going on and they just won't admit it. Anyway, so the Doctor and Romana are still trying to fix K-9. So as John Leeson's got a friend of the convention, but not necessarily the show, because I didn't have time to get any recordings personally. Obviously, Ben did some good interviews and stuff, but I didn't get any bumpers. So he's sort of not really a friend of the show, I'm afraid. Sorry. Somebody could have helped me with that one. Somebody could have said, I know, Adam, I'd give you a hand. You're not at all busy, are you? I'll go around and get some bumpers off the guests that you've arranged to come to this convention. But no, nobody did that, so I was stuck finishing the convention, all the guests gone home, and not having any bumpers whatsoever. Moving back to Doctor Who. So basically the first episode, all about the Doctor trying to fix K-9, and then Lexa doing her very sort of over-the-top superstitious stuff, which is really ironic because, obviously, her last sort of role that was similar to this was in Aztecs, where she was pretending to be a goddess and completely, you know, that she was sort of like the opposite to the character she's playing now in this story, because she actually believes she's some sort of priestess, goddessy, sort of sacrificial person. So it's quite interesting that this sort of role that she's playing now compared with the Aztecs role. I'll move on. And then we cut to a set that the BBC have paid quite a lot of money for, which is these sort of screens and some golf ball that's hanging in the air, which obviously overlaid a lot of very interesting special effects. Yes, Kirby, for goodness sake, 8 minutes in, 15 minutes of the episode.
The DVD quality is so good that you can see the string holding the planet up, the moon or whatever that is, and you can also see the edge of the cyclorama.
I'm on the edge of glory. Oh, carry on. That's Lady Gaga. She was once a sidekick to Take That when we went to see them in Wembley Stadium several years ago. She was a support act. Lady Gaga, yeah, you might have heard of her.
The special effects you're referring to is called Scene Scan. They only used it in the single episode. They didn't charge the Doctor Who production office to use it because it was
experimental.
A proof of concept. But, however, Barry Letts did use it successfully in Gulliver and Lilliput.
Oh.
Starring Elizabeth Slade.
And if you listened to our previous review of Megalos, you would have heard Kirby say exactly the same words that time.
Did I?
Probably, I don't know. Anyway, right, so this is obviously the BBC using these new special effects, and it's still the wobbly drawbridge as it sort of doesn't come out down in a smooth fashion. And then the sort of almost sort of Mongolian villains, who remind me a little bit of the villains from Creature from the Pit, sort of walk off the spaceship. Yeah. And then we see the special effect in motion, because they're walking through, essentially, which is a blue screen CSO thing, and the camera sort of pans across the models to make it look like they're actually walking through this scenery. Very clever.
There was a lot written about that, actually, like on Wikipedia, about how they did the models.
Brilliant. Really, really good. Really, really good.
Yeah, very good.
The DVD has a whole section in the special, in the extras about it.
Well, good. So we just leave people to, if they're really that interested, to watch that. I don't appear to be getting any messages coming through on the live feed. I've got a few viewers, but very bizarrely, no messages coming through. I don't know what's going wrong here. What have I done to upset people?
Well, it is Labor Day weekend.
Oh, yeah, of course it is. Okay, anyway, back to Doctor Who.
Very kind to donate their time on such a good weekend.
Well, Laurie Nix commented. She put in, "Hello, all. Good to see and hear you."
Hey, Laurie!
Why can't I not see this?
I don't know, but I can see it.
I'm going to go to a different view of that, because I can't see these.
It's an American seeing another American's comment, maybe.
Yeah, well done, Mary. I think you should get a point for that, for helping me out with that one. See, this is the sort of podcasting colleague you need at a podcast. Someone like Mary is always out there to help people. Right then, let's see what we've got.
Well, I did that
too. Yes. Hello, Laurie. I can see some messages coming up now. It's rather splendid. Right then, back to the episode. Anyway, so these Mongolian villains, one of which has got the name, which is anagram to bad actor, which was a bit mean because he wasn't that bad. And they've kidnapped. Oh, God.
And he did not realize that. Anagram to that actor until later the authors told him.
Right. Thank you for that. And I'll just nearly drop my wand then. I'm just going to tip out. Ow! Burn my hand. Tip out a nice cup of tea. And then tip it all over my leg as well. Shall we do the sound effect by the microphone? You won't hear this, but the listeners will. It's cool, isn't it?
Well,
you didn't
need
to. Tea on that's tap, and that's lovely and ready to drink. Can I continue?
Of course.
Please.
Joe Briscoe says Megalos is pretty bad, to be honest. So let's save the total reviews to the end of the story. He obviously hasn't watched any of the previous six or seven stories that we've reviewed. Anyway, back to Doctor Who. God, where are we? 9 minutes in, and how far are we in? Oh, look. Far too short. Anyway, they've kidnapped an Earthling. It's a sort of standard-looking British Earthling person with glasses.
Yeah, his name is Earthling, apparently.
That's his character name, yes.
Yeah, that's his character name, yeah, yes. Earthling.
And I think the idea is obviously that when they bump into a cactus, I mean Megalos. And you notice, actually, Kirby, I was pointing out again the scenery, those triangular-shaped backdrop things that I've told people to keep an eye out for is used in these spaceship scenes. But they've all got nice little colours at the joining points of these little triangles on this particular setup. You didn't notice them, did you?
No, yes, I did.
No, you did not. You would have said so. We can't stop you from saying anything, so you would have said so. Anyway, so to cut a longer than needs to be story short, Megalos wants to use...
Adam?
Yes.
I said, I'm surprised Kirby hasn't already jumped on the bit of information that the Earthling, the actor playing Earthling, is also the uncredited voice of Megalos.
Yeah.
Oh, Mary.
Oh, however. I thought that as well, but then I ran across on TARDIS.fandom.com. A different actor is credited, so that's why I did not bring it up, because it's
apologizing to the podcast listeners, because I just bashed the microphone with my mug of tea. Carry on.
It's unclear. Oh wait, they actually have the voice of Megalos is credited on fandom.com as the same guy who was the character Diedrichs instead of the Earthling.
Fascinating. Right then. So they're still trying to fix K9. Megloss is using the body of the Earthling because he's decided, because of the, I think they're expecting the visit of the Doctor at Tigella, Lawson, so he knows this, and he's decided to use a human sort of humanoid to create a doppelganger of the Doctor. Don't know how his glasses disappeared during this particular thing, or his clothes, for that matter. But there you go. So he does changes into the Doctor, and I'm speeding forward here because Kirby's been sort of talking nonsense for quite a long time. And then they get stuck in a time loop thingy, which involves the waggling of K9's tail and a Doctor tripping up and etc. etc. So. And so that's it. Megloss is now the Doctor. I do love the way Tom plays the two characters so completely different, so you're never in doubt who's who. I think it's really, really good. And people aren't listening to me again.
I am.
Oh, you are. Sorry. That's all went very, very unusually. Very, very quiet. Let's see if anybody said anything on the thread.
Still listening.
Laurie Nick says, when I've enlarged the screen on FB, that's Facebook, to watch the feed, for some reason it's not accepting my live feed comments, so I have to reduce it back to the Facebook. It's Facebook always changing, is it? Not always for the better, for never the better, actually. I have to reduce it back to the Facebook page and not a smooth feed at all to post things. What a surprise, Laurie. Yes, Facebook has a tendency to mess up things quite badly. Anyway, back to Doctor Who. In episode 2, we have the...
episode 2?
Yes, episode 2. They're stuck in the time loop.
I've got to push forward to get there.
Oh, well, sorry. I wish I could push forward a bit further. Anyway, so they're stuck in this time loop, and every time that the loop goes back to the beginning, it gives the Doctor and Mamana sort of time to try and assess how they're going to get out of it. It wouldn't be much of a series if they've been stuck in this time loop forever, would they? Because, I don't think it would have lasted as long as it has now.
It would have spared us the story.
Be quiet. Anyway, they head to Tigella, where Megloss, looking like the Doctor, begins pretending to be the Doctor, and he's trying to nick the dodecahedron. Now, the dodecahedron has special qualities because obviously Barbara worships it, so it must be something special about it. They do have a sort of thing that Mary really enjoyed. Do you enjoy the thanks be to Ty stuff going on, Mary? Did you enjoy that? I know you're a fond.
Yes.
Thanks be to.
You do enjoy the sort of little moments in Doctor Who where repetitive bits of music are picked up. Oh, sorry, I just whacked my desk with my wand.
I love them all.
And moving on. The Doctor arrives after getting out of the time loop. And they head on the inside, and of course, I forgot to mention that Megloss shrinks the dodecahedron down to a little handheld thingy, and the Doctor...
He's going to play D&D with it.
Oh, God. Anyway, so the Doctor wanders ahead while... what's her name? Romana sort of finds some of the foam flowers and stuff and plants quite interesting, and she gets attacked by a foam plant. That's quite perfectly acceptable. The plants on another planet could be made of foam. You're not telling me otherwise.
Plants, yes.
So suddenly, the Doctor turns up. We saw you just a minute ago, and I think Romana dusts herself down. I thought she was going to be badly poisoned or something like this by this plant, so it was a bit of a pointless scene, really. It was just to sort of hold her up so as the Doctor could get sort of further into trouble. At this point, we see the iconic Megloss makeup with Tom Baker sort of looking a bit cactusy. Very effective.
Yes.
But you can see the rubbery sort of latex sort of nature of it sometimes in some of the scenes. It must have been very uncomfortable.
And also you can see his wrists at times.
Terrible.
Where the gloves didn't go quite far enough.
Thankfully for us, now it's even easier to tell the difference between Megloss and the Doctor, because the Doctor doesn't look like a cactus at this particular stage. And of course then Lex-R comes along and challenges him and said, you've nicked the dodecahedron, you're going to be executed, blah, blah, blah. K9, meanwhile, is... then Romana gets... Romana gets cornered by the well, you know, the baddies, and sort of the usual sort of cliffhanger, kill her, comes into play, so as we can have a little
cliffhanger. They're called gas tacks.
They're what?
They're called the baddies are gas tacks.
Are they?
I guess they are collecting money for gasoline.
Yeah. I see. You know, I thought, well, they sound a bit like gas Aztecs with a G on the front of it.
Yes, it's basically Gaztac.
Okay. Anyway, so K-9 is all right, and he's wandering around the woods, and he's trying to sort of look after Romana, and bad actress, is prowling around, being a pain in the, well, just being blatantly bad, and then of course Romana doesn't get killed. She joins the little troop of baddies, and the doctor tries to talk himself out of a tricky situation, and there's a scene in which the Earthling tries to separate himself from Megloss.
Which is cool
in a way. I like the dramatic elements of that particular scene and what it sort of stands for, but I just get distracted by the fact that his glasses are on as he comes away from the doctor.
Yeah.
Overly bothered about the clothes, because I should be, but I'm not. But the glasses are, a bit of a distraction. Not the doctor, sorry, Megloss. But it is a very good scene and quite well done in regards to the special effects of the time. So then bad actress gets attacked by Megloss and dragged out of a room. And then hang on, I've just seen Lexa. Looks like she's been banged up in a cage or something. I missed that bit of the story. I think...
Do you think she's talking to her people through a stairwell?
Maybe,
yeah,
so.
It's that spiral staircase.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she's talking to them through it, so it did look like she was in a cage.
Now, Romana and the baddies, are they looking for the doctor? Because they're just traipsing around the jungle at the moment.
No, she's telling them where the ship is.
Right, yeah, because it does look rather aimless at this point. Yeah.
But she's trying to lure them into the eating plants.
Yeah.
The doctor, meanwhile, is laid on a sort of a flat thing because there's...
It's where the dodecahedron was sat.
Yeah, because they're going to drop a great big heavy weight on him to squish him. Yes, Kirby. Yes.
That spiral staircase was... taken and put into the wax museum along with the wax figure of Tom as Megloss. So they used the.
They did
if
him,
you ever saw that.
It's obviously quite iconic then, this, you know, this particular, you know, Megloss-y character, the fact that they did that and put it in Madame Tussauds.
They did his normal one and they did his Megloss one for Madame Tussauds.
Oh, very good. Anyway, back to Doctor Who.
People who's had these wax work twice in the same time.
Oh. Anyway, so, so the doctor is about to be squished by this heavy weight. Now, what got
but
me...
But being squished.
God. Yes.
He was having a joke.
Well, it wasn't very funny. Anyway, this thing is tethered by three ropes so they can drag out the burning of each rope. But what got me was, even though he's sort of worried about this thing landing on him and squishing him, they put a nice pillow under his head to make him comfortable.
You'll be squished in comfort.
Yeah. Of course, then we see another scene of the Earthling trying to separate itself from Megloss, another very, very good scene. And then there's a bit of a battle in shoes where the baddies come in and have a battle with the blondies. And then Megloss gets out of the citadel, and he's got a plan of blowing everything to smithereens because the dodecahedron can sort of become a Death Star sort of weapon. And they need some planet to test it on. Surprise, surprise. I thought we were going to say Earth, actually, but they decide to again. Anyway, and of course, episode 3 ends with the Doctor looking a tad bit worried that this heavy weight that once they start burning the rope of starts swinging. And think that's going to swing down and land on me in a minute. Quite a long drawback for episode 4 to this thing, this whole scene again.
That was a long pullback.
Yes, that's what she said. And and of course, when they all run in there, including Barbara's old friend in the purple, said they're telling the truth. It's not him. And of course, she just about.
That's Buster, isn't it? Oh, Zaster, sorry.
Vasta Narada, did you say?
No, Zaster.
Oh, Zaster. So the Doctor's life is saved, and Megloss and her little cronies land on the planet where all the screens are, and moving on. And the great big thing comes out of the ground. And then one of the soldiers has been a bit injured back in on Tigella, takes a shot at Romana, but Barbara jumps in the way and takes the shot to save Romana's life. And
is redeemed at the end of Barbara. Yeah.
Pardon?
Mm-hmm. That's the end of Barbara.
The end of Barbara.
She's redeemed as a character as well for saving Romana.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So the Doctor realises that Megloss is walking around in just his shirt on, so he takes his his scarf and coat off so he can pretend to be Megloss, and he cons a very stupid soldier into holding the sides of this.
Yes.
Picks up the coat and goes and puts his hands back.
And then we eventually come up to the scene. I love the scene where the two blondies and K-9 and Romana sort of peek around a corner, and K-9's just sort of quite blatantly obvious in view with his red light and everything.
That was a brilliant shot. I like that one.
And then we have to have the scene where the Doctor meets his doppelganger, his evil doppelganger, has a conversation with him. Love it.
Because the Doctor's just asking him, like, why are you doing this? This is stupid. What's this
But he
for?
Does it much more calmer than he does in Pirate Planet.
Yes.
Yeah. they manage to get past a guard by sort of some bloke who hits him on the back of the head with a rock, but it still doesn't knock him out, so K-9 stuns him.
I know, I find that weird. Don't shoot this big rock, all he does is turn around
and distracts him. Yeah, so what was that?
It's a styrofoam rock.
Polystyrene, Kirby. I've said this before. Anyway, so they pin Megloss down, but Earthling manages to get away from him, and what's left of Megloss, which is just a green splat, slithers out of the room. And there's a big countdown out for a big explosion, and the TARDIS having trouble dematerializing at this point, which is building up the suspense somewhat.
Because he tried to encourage it to work properly, and it went nah.
and then they just basically imply that they're going to take the Earthling home. And the Earthling did remind me of sort of almost like a character from Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy in some ways. I don't know why, because I haven't really watched it that much. And that's the end of the story. Now, I've heard some very horrible things said about Megloss. I think that's a bit mean. I think it's a very iconic story. I think, obviously, again, they've padded it out a little bit. But I enjoyed this more than I enjoyed Leisure Hive, I have to say.
Yeah.
I think it's better. Some of there's hammy acting going on, but when you've got Jacqueline Hill on screen and Tom Baker playing an evil character and a good character, and a bit of K-9 not getting too injured, because I know Nathan Turner was quite keen to keep him out of the stories, but he actually was in this story a little bit. I think you've got yourself a quite half decent Doctor Who story. And the fact that they stuck Megloss in Madame Tussauds means it can't have been that bad. I don't think it's bad at all, actually. I think this is okay. But obviously, you lot are going to disagree. The thing is, right, I have to say, before we move on to you lot, I like Doctor Who. And I if it's half decent, I'll like it. And I say this is a half decent story. What do you think of it then, Debbie?
Well, this was one of amongst the first ones that I reviewed with you guys, because it was on one of our selectors where you decided which one we watch and review. And I really enjoyed it at the time, because obviously this is about the time when I was...
Because you used to like Doctor Who then, is that right?
Well, yeah, I used to love Doctor Who. But this is about the time when I was becoming really aware of it, because I was about 3 when this came out. So, it has basically stood the test of time with scaring me, I must say. But I just really enjoyed the whole concept of Megloss and taking over a body and then taking on the Doctor. And I just thought that Tom Baker actually did such a good job playing both evil and, evil Doctor and happy Doctor. And the confusion almost seemed to be quite natural, especially with Vasta. I was wondering if maybe behind the scenes he was playing both as well, just to confuse everybody. It did certainly feel that way when people were genuinely going quite confused, really, don't really know what's going on. And I just enjoyed it. I watched it over a couple of weeks. I watched it over a couple of days, and then I watched it again over the last week too, just 2 at a time.
I watched it over 4 weeks actually. Maybe that's why I enjoyed it.
Actually, it's one of those Doctor Who's that I really quite enjoy, and I really like the idea of of the cactus and the bit, especially the bit when he where Megalos escapes as just that slimy bit of green going out, being dragged out of the
Percy,
door. That was amazing.
You know what you mean, don't you?
That was up there with the great big ball of green bubble wrap, you know, in the lighthouse.
And, you and now make the finest green in the universe.
It really was just like, yes, Doctor Who at its finest. And that's what I felt. I felt that it was just a really good, classic Doctor Who story.
Oh, sure, I'm really tired because you lot have had me working really hard over the last month. Supposed to be my 2-week holiday. Okay, Mary, what did you think? Hang on, whoa, great. Don't say anything yet, Mary.
Oh, great. What about Kirby?
No, yeah. I want to hear what Mary has to say.
Mary is usually last.
I'm changing it. Well, I'm not changing it. I'm mixing it up a little bit. I will say, though, that Leland Robbins says, hello, I don't like this story at all. But she does like Romana's outfit. Mary, what do you think?
Oh, yes, I agree with Lillian that Little Lord Fauntleroy outfit of Romana's, it was very fashionable kind of thing, that leather and lace and velvet stuff that was so popular in the late 70s, early 80s. So she was very, very fashionable in that story. My opinion is kind of meh. Mm. The story itself was kind of thin, though I think it was very well produced. I mean, I love what they did with the special effects, and I love the costuming on everybody. I thought that was all very effective.
Yes.
And although most of the general other actors, staff, whatever, were almost laughably not involved. You know, whenever you looked at the people that were, you know, the not the main characters, but the extras, they were like in a different story, I think, because nothing was much impressing them. But the standout for me was Tom Baker.
Yes.
With his energy and all that, and I'm going to get to that in a minute. What else did I make note? Oh, yeah, the story seemed like it was a two-episode story kind of strung out over 4 episodes, because they were doing a lot of padding.
They were.
Especially the last episode.
So I think it could have been a better story if it had been tighter.
Yep.
But then I also realized that these introductions that go for 3 and 4 minutes into the episode are probably a lot like today when we, you know, when we're seeing weekly stories. Each time we come in, they say, you know, what is it? Oh, last week on, you know, and then they tell you everything that happened the week before.
Yep.
I think that those were there because people couldn't record and rewatch. So they were, you know, a kind of a long introduction, I think, was helpful then. So I'm kind of forgiving of that, even though it's a little, you know, I want to scan through them.
Mm-hmm.
One thing that struck me as one thing that made me laugh is all this talking about the foliage on the planet Tegela being lethal. You know, it's they all had to retreat underground because the foliage was so dangerous. But then every time our characters interact with the foliage, it just seems like a mild distraction. You know, nothing seemed especially threatening, especially when those Gaztecs went through. I mean, they were just kind of flinging their arms around, you know, knocking those supposedly killer tentacles off. Mm. And I'm thinking, so why does this stuff have the reputation of being lethal? But anyway, on to the celebrity news portion of my comment.
Mm-hmm.
Tom Baker, if you probably don't remember, but when we last talked about 100 years ago, I said that the story that we were watching, that he was starting to get very sick. I think it was Leisure Hive. He was starting to get very sick, mm-hmm. which is why he was in so low energy throughout that. Well, apparently it progressed, and although he would never let anyone know what the sickness was, and the episodes are shot out of order, because State of Decay was filmed before this. This is when he was his sickest.
Oh.
To the point where who plays Romana?
Lala Ward
was feeding him spoons of baby food to keep him going. They had to use curlers in his hair for the first time because his hair was getting so lank. And he was so pale himself that this is the first and only episode in which he actually has makeup on, so he doesn't look as sick as he was feeling. And they even were making him wear that heavy coat and heavy scarf through most of this story to not show how thin he was getting. And so in those episodes or those scenes where he does shed the coat and the scarf, you can see he's almost skeletal. He is so skinny. So I'm just amazed because he still put out so much enthusiasm and yep. so much of himself in this story that you can hardly tell that. And one more thing is that we all know that he and Lala Ward, you know, were falling in love and having an affair during the Paris story.
Yeah.
And but what we probably don't know is that they had a major breakup during Shada. And so they were not really even communicating much through this whole series, except that when he got as sick as he did, Romana was the one who stepped up and was taking care of him. And like I said, she was the one feeding him baby food and that to keep him going. Mm. So they settled a lot of their differences during this. So there you are. There's your celebrity news.
So wasn't I right to make Mary do her bit first?
There you go. Absolutely.
Yeah, thank you very much. See, I know what I'm doing with podcasting, you know. I've been doing it for 9 years. What else we got here on the feed? We've got...
Wait.
What?
Wait, I have no opinion.
In a minute. I'm just seeing if anybody's saying it on the feed. You could see Tom was sick in this. Terrible free rash. At times.
Yes. Terrible green spiky rash, yes. Yeah,
terrible.
Some sort of ointment from Boots would be required here. Joe Briscoe, I don't know who's replying to him. It said, I would, however, quite like a Cactus Tom Baker figure. That's a good point. We really do need to bring out a Cactus Tom Baker character options. So there you go. Right then, go on then, Kirby. Let's see what drivel you want to come out with. We should have a special theme tune for Kirby, shouldn't we? Let's see if we can find something here from my... hang on, this one for Kirby. Oh, no, that's probably... how about this? No, that's not appropriate either, is it? No, you just have to go on without a theme tune, Kirby. I'll drink my tea.
I'll come up with a theme tune for myself later.
I've just bashed the microphone again for our podcast listeners. So sorry about that, podcast.
Find the theme tune to K9 and Company.
Oh, I got this one.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
That's fine.
No, I like the theme tune for K9.
I haven't got K9. That one.
I like the Hampton Gallery one because when I'm.
How about this one? Now I've got this one. We used to play that, didn't we? I can't remember. We used to play that for a regular pedantic war that used to happen on the show between Reese and somebody. Carry on, Kirby, while we've still got breath in our lungs.
I don't remember what my opinion was the last time we did this one, but this I'm very mixed with this particular story because as a story, it's terrible. But I really, it's also one of those stories that, what?
I said, oh dear, I only played half of it. Carry on.
Let me finish. This is one of those that I can sit down, turn this one on, and enjoy the heck out of it.
Oh, good.
Even though the story is not very good, it is to the point where I got the original DVD back when it first came out, which was I don't know when that was.
Oh, wow.
Ages and ages ago, probably about 10 years ago. And at about a year and a half ago, I pulled this one out to just enjoy
I bet you
watching
did.
It.
Shut up, Adam.
And discovered that the DVD had a big scratch on it. I'm going, uh-oh. So I went on to Amazon to price a replacement, and this is one of the ones where it's really hard to get a replacement. And I willingly paid $54.19 for a replacement DVD.
Yes.
So that tells you something right there. That it's
big fan.
Yeah. This is the story of Kirby's travails.
It was well worth waiting for the culmination of that particular story, wasn't it? What about the actual story itself, Kirby? Have we alluded to what you think about it?
Well, I just said the story itself is terrible, but I like a lot of the characters. I love seeing Jaclyn Hill in there. There's the gas tacks are funny, and I thought the idea of the dual nature of how they did the two Doctor and the Earthling, that's well done. So obviously I like it, but I don't like the story.
Yeah, well, so you summed it up much better the second time round, sort of in a way we could have actually moved on a bit quicker. But thanks anyway, Kirby. Oh. I'm being mean.
I'll choose my own.
No, me and Alan T. Butcher have always already thought of a theme tune for it. I've just got to find it on iTunes. But we now... Now I need to move over to a subject called feedback. And if I can find the appropriate button, we can do this. That's good, actually. Give me an interlude to try and find Kirby's theme music. Debbie, over to you. Today,
yeah,
be nice.
Yeah, it always comes up at the end of the message. I had to scroll back
what she said.
Some way. One of our dodecahedrons is missing, or a pointed performance and a good bad actor. Dear 20 Megabyters, Megalos is, of course, a closely studied rehearsal of conflict between scientific and faith-based approaches to practical realities and pointing to each side's solipsistic attitudes as a weakness, which perhaps leaves them weaker as they are both distracted from learning more about what really matters about their respective credos. Therefore, they are rendered quickly helpless by the loss they suffer of that which they both put great store in, but neither are capable of doing without or legitimately understands. The Zolfathurin penetration, assisted by the Gaztak, Russian Cossack-style pirates, is used to belittle both the worshippers and the overdependent technophiles in one fell swoop. This appears to be a parallel for the over-reliance upon and credence given, which leaves social media open to interference by foreign powers working against a society. It should be noted that while some say this is a poor and pointless story, and certainly it is something of a regression to the style of season 17, in fact it is a well-plotted and original story with very little to apologise for and lots of good points. We also learn that Barbara Wright and Ian Chesterton probably found their way to Tigella, and between them they fractured the indigenous society between scientific and non-scientific castes. Whilst Ian was presumably cast out as he refused to wear that ridiculous wig, Barbara gleefully put the requisite hat on and thrived, passing herself off as Lexa. All in all, Megalos is a much much misunderestimated story, perhaps mainly because in many ways it is made to look somewhat old-fashioned by the otherwise new look this season. Taken with the previous season, it would have ranked very much at the credible end of the spectrum. K9 takes the now traditional booting, making one actor very happy, as well as demonstrating how far we have subsequently come with regard to battery life. It is a classic roomed mystery enhanced with original plot elements and standout performances from several cast members round off an engaging and entertaining story. This story was perhaps at least two episodes too short, as who would not have wished to see more from Grugger and Brotodak and their procurement of random earthling taken painfully by the Gaztax for the cariophile client spin-off Big Finish, please. Plus to see the backstory of how Barbara got there and what happened to Ian Chesterton. Next up, Doctor Who and Starliner Creative Inertia, or The Creature in the Black Lagoon's Cousins. Those are my thoughts. Alan,
oh, yeah.
Butcher.
Wow.
Thank you,
Alan. Is there
Alan.
Such a word as misunderestimated?
Misunderestimated, yes.
I wonder if this is appropriate music for Kirby. I think that'd be appropriate, wouldn't it? That's more. Possibly.
Oh, Kirby, that's brilliant.
Yeah.
So is that me? Are you saying that I'm a clown?
I didn't say that at all.
I think it's brilliant.
The piece of music is called Entry of the Gladiators, actually. Thank you very much, Kirby. Yeah. But if you want to see it as that's fine by me. Right, so I've got some more feedback, actually. Thank you for Alan T. Butcher. We'll talk about Alan T. Butcher and Billy Kirkbride, a la Fan TC Con, in a minute or two. Just don't let me forget, Debbie, otherwise you're grounded.
Oh, okay. No work for me.
Yay! right, well, I've lost me Google Gmail folder. Here it is.
Google Gmail folder.
Me Google Gmail folder, yeah. So we're going to do this, and then I'm going to click on this, and then I've got to click on, where's that one? There, that.
Hello, 20 Megabyte Podcast. This is Ian Kirk.
Hello, Ian.
Yay!
Meg Ross by Flanagan and McCullough.
Flanagan, Alan.
The second Doctor had an evil twin in The Enemy of the World, eh? Here, the fourth Doctor has an evil twin, a cactus I like to call Spike. This is an allegory of atomic power. During the apocalypse, the power source flies off to the neighbouring planet and becomes the focus of a religious cult. Some places, you're not allowed in without a tie. Some places, you have to swear allegiance to tie.
Yeah.
That Lexa looks familiar. Jacqueline Hill is back.
Whee!
Thanks be to tie.
Thanks be to tie. We have marching along jungle paths instead of the usual running down corridors. The Doctor meddles with the machine at the end and kills Megloss and his henchmen. I thought he did not do that sort of thing.
Hmm.
Chronic hysteresis. I hope not. If it is, we'll be stuck here forever. Here we go again.
Hello, 20 Megabyte Podcast. This is
Here we go again.
Hello, 20 Megabyte Podcast. This is Ian Kirk. Bye for now.
Thank you, Ian. Superb. So he's had plenty of time to prepare that one, hasn't he?
Brilliant.
I wonder if this is a piece of music's any good. No, that's no good, is it?
Bit dramatic.
What's this one here? Oh, well, this is it. No. Right, anyway, yeah, so that's feedback as far as I can. Apart from what we might have been posting on the Facebook page, yes, Kirby?
I think there's a little bit.
A little bit. Lilibet. That's what the Queen was called when she was a child.
Yeah, Jeff Waddle said, another to add to the list of ones I've never seen all the way through.
Mm-hmm.
And then he commented about the picture I posted, which had Gabrielle Drake.
Mm-hmm.
And I asked for feedback, and Paul Gobert said, is it though, or are you just saying it is and then it will get delayed again?
That's not unfair. That's Debbie's fault that I couldn't have time to do any of podcasting and time leaving.
Either way, I'll have to try and rewatch, as I think I've forgotten most of it. I've seen the Faceless Ones, Evil of the Daleks, Tombs of the Cybermen, and half the Abominable Snowman this week. It's a tough watch, this one. Laurie Nix, did you want me to read Laurie Nix's or?
No, you carry on. You carry on. I'm just browsing through other bits of commenting. This
Laurie says, I think we were all caught in a time bubble waiting for this rewatch. Maybe that's why I felt bored watching this, or maybe just tired of the Romana 2 period.
Oh.
Hey, I like the Romana 2 period.
So did I.
The Doctor looks a bit, I guess, peaked. And I'm not referring to the green skin and pickles. Prickles.
All right.
Prickles a bit of weight, didn't he? I guess I sort of like this one because of the number of times the word dodecahedron is uttered. A 12B is my fave in gaming because it's slightly superfluous unless you want to do a hell of a lot of damage. I'm also a big fan of changing into a 17th century velveteen romper while trekking through a jungle planet.
Yeah.
Doppelgangers are fun. Baker perked up a little being one. Better anyway than staring as a sad-looking talking cactus. Now, the Earth guy in the suit, shouldn't he have become a companion? I think a Frazzled guy in a suit is needed desperately this season. Things start to perk up at the very end when Romana is urgently summoned. What do it all mean? Yes,
what do it all mean? What it all mean is they get stuck in e-space.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Guess I'll have to keep watching.
You
biggest
will.
Irritant was how Maud Vidal Sassoon Bobs could even give the savants a couldn't even give us the Savant's personality.
Is that it?
Yeah. Okay. Paul says, I sort of like this, but it's very middle of the road. It's fine with some fun elements, but it's never going to be a classic.
Not sure of that, but it is middle of the road, but a fun middle of the road. So right. There you go.
Ian says, Ty is an anagram of it.
Yeah. Right.
Jeff says, Estrom, Sir Giles, is an anagram of master. Spoilers.
Ah. Anyway, Auntie Butcher says, the word misunderestimated was a U.S. presidential coinage by George W. Bush. That went down like a lead balloon.
Now, if I could point out something, which I just think is kind of neat.
Yes.
The authors, when they wrote this, stayed in a house. Flanagan and McCulloch were the authors. They wrote this in a house that, through a weird coincidence, we will see the front door of the very same house very shortly in Legopolis, as it is where Tegan and her great aunt, or it's her great aunt or just aunt?
I think it's just aunt.
Okay. Her aunt, yes, it's her auntie.
Yeah, I don't think they deliberately went back there. I mean, someone was just scouting and happened to notice this house, but it happened to be where the authors lived of this story.
Marvelous. Right, can we move on? Thank you. That's the correct answer. Yes, we'll move on. Right then. We'll talk about Fantasy Con in a moment because Debbie's very keen to get on with the quiz. So I'm going to move into a position I'm not going to get cramp.
You'll win this, you know, Adam.
Yes, Adam will win this one. I'm
over to you, Debbie. I'm just going to sit back and be indifferent. Carry on.
Adam, are we doing who's going to win or lose now that you're on it?
If you so wish, I don't mind. It's entirely up to you.
Mary, who do you think's going to win?
Kirby.
And Kirby, who do you think's going to win?
Master.
Adam, who do you think's going to win?
Kirby.
And Mary, who do you think's going to lose?
Me.
Oh. Kirby, who do you think's going to lose?
Me.
Kirby. Okay. And Adam, who do you think's going to lose?
Well, me.
Okay. And so far, the points are 0 for Kirby, 0 for Adam, and 2 for Mary.
Oh, yay!
Well kept track, Debbie. Yes.
Off to a rocket start here.
Are we going to have the quiz first and then the Fantasy Con?
I thought we just said that. Deduct a point from him.
Okay, Kirby. Well,
obviously wasn't listening at all. Unbelievable.
Okay, I'm asking again.
Oh, you want to do another point? Okay.
Okay, Mary, this question...
We're doing the quiz first, Kirby, for goodness sake.
Doing the quiz first, okay.
Do you want me to deduct a point from
him? No, just take one off him, that'll do.
Right, okay. Mary, this question is for you first.
Yeah.
What will it do instead of landing?
Hover.
Yay. Ding.
I want a ding, do you?
Kirby.
Master. Mistress.
That's right. These questions aren't going to be as intense as Adam's, I'm sorry. What can't the concurrence revoke?
I have no idea.
Anyone?
No. Well, not for me anyway. I can't speak on behalf of Mary.
No, I don't know.
So it's going to be that.
The laws of physics.
Oh, I've got an itchy back.
Okay, Adam?
Yes?
What is propping up the hat stand?
Pass.
Okay, anyone?
I think it's the manual for the TARDIS.
Nope.
Yeah, well, there you go. So I'll go for me, and then I'll go... Kirby, don't forget the bonus spot, Debbie. Hope you're keeping track of this.
I am, yes. I've got 4 points there. It's K-9's manual.
Didn't know he had a manual. Don't remember Marinus giving him a manual. Carry on.
There's 4 questions in the bonus pot, 4 points in the bonus pot, and answer with, I know, because obviously I never do that. What has Lieutenant Bretadak stolen from Megalos in the first episode?
Pass.
Anyone?
It's some sort of remote control. I didn't write that down,
so I don't know either.
Okay, well, it's his redimensioner, so there's still 4 points.
Yeah. Yes.
Okay.
What was that scratch? Did you just scratch something out?
Yeah,
so blatantly obvious, yeah. Very petulant, a bit of scribbling there.
She knows everything with pen and paper, not like you.
Yeah, mine is literally on a piece of cardboard. And I was just underlining where I'd got to. Okay, Mary.
Yes.
How often could K9 need recharging?
Oh, every 2 hours.
Ding.
Oh, well done, Mary. So we're going on.
Hang on.
This is very slick. Do you want to play some lift music while you sort yourself out? Oh, sorry.
I haven't done this for ages. Shut up.
Woo!
Kirby.
Mistress?
How much will all Megalos' stuff fetch on Palicus?
I don't know.
Nor do I.
I don't remember either.
50 million credits.
There you go. Does that go into the bonus pot?
It has.
I should really stop lying down. I'm going to fall asleep. I'm going to be doing an Andy on my own podcast at this rate.
50 million credits for answering?
What?
That'd be nice. Adam.
Yes?
Where are the magnetic tweezers?
Pass.
Oh, I might know.
Okay.
Are they in the doctor's coat?
Yep.
Well, Mary. There we go.
There are six points in the bonus pot, and quite an easy bonus question, oddly, for me.
Yes.
How do you unjam the probe circuit?
I know.
Go on, then.
Well, you just waggle K9's tail.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Okay. I should have played me a Joker on that one. Damn!
I forgot about Jokers.
I didn't exactly remind everyone about them.
Do you have a point deductive view, then, Deb?
Kirby is in the bottom with minus one. Is second with 6 points, and Mary's in the lead with 7 points.
I actually watched this about a month ago and didn't rewatch it.
It obviously didn't. Excuses.
I reckon we should start bringing in point deductions for excuses.
Okay, Mary, this is your question.
Just in homage of Reese.
Yes.
What are they stuck in?
Joker.
Ooh. Yeah.
They're caught in a chronic hysteretic loop.
There we go.
A chronic hysterectomy. Sorry about the burp. A cup of tea just repeated on me. So it's for Mary.
Making you a bit
4 points for Mary there. Debbie, don't forget it's 4 points.
I've done it.
All right. Just trying to help out.
She knows how to do the scoring.
Kirby, what must Doctor do to view the dodecahedron?
He's got to swear allegiance to Ty.
Yes, there we go.
What's it actually called?
I don't know. Do you know, Kirby?
I'll give you 1 point for that, Kirby, but it's actually called something. Does anybody know?
Take an oath.
Yeah, it's called something.
I don't know.
Hooray.
Take
the oath-taking ceremony?
Yeah, it's take the Dion oath. He must take the Dion oath.
Was that Dion Warwick or?
Okay, Adam, this is for you.
Mm.
How do they break the chronic hysteresis?
They do everything deliberately throughout the thing, and like it's scripted instead of doing it in the. So they actually go run through the script of the chronic history, what you just said.
Yeah, you've got the 2 points.
Joker. Oh, too late.
No, nothing is a bonus.
Oh, it's a bonus, is it?
So there's no bonus points this round. So on to Mary. Mary, what does Romana notice about the foliage?
Made of foam. That's not the answer.
What she says bell plants, very nasty.
No, she notices something particular about the foliage that gets to look. Okay.
Then I don't know.
Oh, I think I know.
Okay, what is it?
The leaves are burnt.
That's it.
These are what?
Oh, yeah.
They're what?
Scorching.
Oh.
Because of the gas tax.
Oh.
Okay. Kirby, for you.
Mistress.
How is Zaster?
What? How is he?
How is Zaster? The doctor asks him how he's doing. How is Zaster? And what does he reply?
I don't know.
Nor do I.
I told you, I'm not going to do
well. I don't either.
Okay, the answer is baffled, Doctor.
Oh. That's true.
Was that the bonus pot?
No, there's no bonus pot yet. Oh. There's two gone in there, though. But okay. Now it's your question, Adam.
Okay.
How long until the city will be dead?
Ooh. Something sort of almost came to mind then. But as I'm going to say 2 hours.
Yep.
Oh, I should have played me a joker.
I
was a guess, sort of semi-guess, because that did come to mind.
There are 2 points in the bonus pot. Mm. And what way does the planet turn?
I know.
Okay.
I know.
Kirby.
Joker, 80 clockwise.
Lovely. There you go. 4 points. Do you want a score or shall I just carry on?
It's up to you. You're running the questions.
I'll carry on for this one. There's a few more rounds.
Is this a carry on film?
Point deductive for Kirby for being absolutely useless of humour.
Okay, Mary, this question is for you.
Yeah.
Where is the ice forming?
Wow. Ice forming. I don't know.
Okay. Anyone else?
No.
In the sub-level corridors.
Well, there you go.
Well.
Kirby?
Mistress?
What does the general call K9?
I don't know.
Nor do I.
Anyone?
No.
Useless rubbish.
Yay, Mary gets 1 point. Useless. Yay.
Obviously based on John Nathan Turner, then.
That's character. Just before the point where he said he would play, the actor said he would only be in this if he could kick K-9.
That's it.
That's where he kicked
K-9. And then K-9 goes...
yeah.
Adam, you still haven't played your Joker?
Yeah, I know that.
This is your question.
Right.
What colour is the dodecahedron?
Joker yellow.
Mm.
Gold, sort of yellowy colour.
Okay, I'll give you that.
What? What is it then?
Yellow but gold when shrunk.
That's bloody what I said. Right, that is it. Right, I can't deduct any points off, Debbie.
Everyone's played their
Joker. I played my Joker, so I have 4 points for that one.
You have?
No, that's
yes,
right.
You got it anyway.
You got it.
I should hope so too.
There's 2 points in the bonus pot. How is the doctor to be sacrificed?
I know.
Go on then.
Well, they're going to drop a great big weight on him by burning the little ropes and stuff.
Perfect. It was going to be where were they going to do? Where did they do it? And I should.
And he's
going to
have a nice, comfy pillow under his head while they do it.
Okay. Right. I'm going to do points now, and then there's a couple more rounds. Okay. So Kirby is in third place with 5 points. Mary is in second with 12, and Adam's in the lead with 16.
Oh well, that's the end of that then.
I like the way this is going.
Mary.
Yes.
Who directed Meglos?
Oh, shoot.
Hang on, where's Wikipedia?
Hey, I can't. Hey. I know I looked at it and laughed, but.
Hang on,
no,
I've got
I
the disc
remember.
Here somewhere.
Anyone?
Only by looking up in Wikipedia, which I refuse to do.
So, ooh, that makes a change, Kirby. My goodness. I've got the DVD here. See what it says. It says Meglos, Doctor Who.
Don't give him this.
Well, it doesn't say it on it. It's just the disc. It doesn't have anything like that information on it.
Well, there you go. 2 points in the bonus pot then. It was Terence Dudley.
Oh, Terence Dudley, of course.
I didn't think that question would get that much trouble. Okay.
What else has he done?
I don't know.
I thought he did music.
Because his name sounds like two comedians, you know, Terence Dudley. I thought it was funny.
Yes.
Kirby. according to Megalos is the price of success?
Is what?
What, according to Megalos, is the price of success?
I don't know.
Anyone?
Or probably death or something like that.
Three men.
Eh?
Three. That's the price of success, General.
Oh, okay. Whatever.
Oh, that reminds me. Yeah, we saw all of his men get killed, and yet they all show up again at the end.
Yeah, I know.
Regenerated.
Yes.
Okay, Adam, this is for you.
Mm.
What does Rotterdam want?
The doctor's coat.
Yep.
Oh, very good.
I shouldn't have answered that question, should I?
Bonus. You have got 4 points in the bonus. So here we go. Where exactly was Megalos taking the dodecahedron?
Where was he taking it? To his own planet. Exactly. Oh, sorry. Oh, exactly. I don't know them. Now you carry on. Pass it over to someone else.
Isn't he taking it to Zara? Where is it? Zephyrathura?
That's right. So Mary gets 1, 2, 3, 4 points.
Yay!
Lovely. Okay, a couple of rounds to go. Hope nobody's bored. Mary, what's the final adjustment for?
The final adjustments are 3 meters by 5 meters?
Nope, not at all. Anyone else?
No.
I don't understand. What's the question?
What is the final adjustment for?
You mean,
what is it for?
It's for relative motion.
Yes, you're right.
That was a long pause before deciding whether he was right or not.
No, I was looking I was colouring something in with my pen for some reason.
Pay attention to the quiz.
Bonus pop question, and I got distracted colouring in.
We need to hurry up because Adam is falling asleep.
Okay.
No, I'm not actually. I was falling asleep when I was laying back in my chair, but I'm not falling asleep now. Anyway, carry on.
What does the doctor first say to Megalos?
Whose question?
Yours.
I don't know.
Okay. What does the doctor first say to Megalos? Anyone?
Don't know.
Haven't I seen you somewhere before? Adam, this is for you, and might have been alluded to just now. How big is the cell?
How big is the cell?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Mary might know this one.
Why? Because I said 3 meters by 5 meters?
There you go, ding.
I think there's a bit of skullduggery going on here.
I wrote that down and I don't even know what it refers to, so...
It was when he was going on about how he was going to have the universe, and this is what he's left with, 3 meters by 5 meters.
Oh, that's right, yes.
Okay, bonus pot, there are 2 points, and then we've got a last round to go. Bonus question. How does Megalos escape, according to Romana?
No idea.
Yeah, don't know.
Don't know.
Okay. 2 more points in the bonus pot. How he modulated himself on a particular wavelength of light, apparently, or just squished out of the room, according to me.
Yeah.
Just squished out.
Well, pulled out, more dragged.
Yeah.
Okay, last round and bonus questions. Mary, who played the Earthling?
I know.
Oh, I don't know.
Okay, Kirby?
Christopher Owen.
Lovely.
I don't have any notes up. I don't have the Wikipedia page.
So I don't care. Shut up.
No, seriously. I want to tell you.
We believe you. It's fine.
Why are you making such a point about it?
Can I say something?
Yeah, go on then, as long as it's relevant.
Back when we first did this story.
You cheated, I know.
I noticed the actor's name, and I then took a screenshot and sent it to my friend Chris Owen and said, "Oh, you're in Doctor Who." With that name.
Okay, thank you for that.
Fascinating.
Yes. Back to you, Debbie. Well,
this is Kirby's question,
Mistress.
What is not the Doctor's strong point?
I don't know.
I don't know either.
Anyone else? No, horticulture.
Oh, darn. Yeah, you're right. I remember that bit now.
Okay, and a question for you, Adam, that we've already talked about. Why did Bill Fraser agree to be in Megalos?
Because he wanted to kick canine.
Perfect. There we go. And now we've got the last bonus pop question. 6 points. What date did the first episode of Megalos originally air?
What? Can we get the nearest gets the points?
Yes. Yeah, that's fine.
Okay.
March 1980.
I'm going to go for September 1980.
Okay. What did you guys say?
1980.
What did you say, Kirby?
Sometime in
1980. In other words, don't count me.
Okay, Mary.
September 1980.
I said that, you chick.
I'm sorry. That's probably what was on my mind.
It's fine.
October 1980.
No, Mary, keep it. I was just saying, you're both right. Three points apiece. It was September the 27th.
Oh, get in.
3 points apiece.
Well, okay.
Right, so I have 10, 15, 20, 23. Okay, Adam.
Yes?
You double the points each if they've got their prediction right both times, so they get double.
Yes. That implies that I've lost, but carry on, yes. I've changed my mind. No, we're not going to do that this time. We're just going to stick it without the doubling.
Stick with normal points. Okay.
I'm only joking.
Well, let me just tell you what they are anyway.
Well, before the doublings.
Yes. Kirby got 7. Mary got 20 points, and Adam won with 23 points.
Oh, God. Yeah, go on then.
Right. So, Mary predicted Kirby to win.
Oh, dear.
Nope. And Mary...
And myself to lose, so I lose all odds, yeah.
Set on 20. Kirby predicted Adam to win, so that takes him up to 14. And himself to lose. So that takes him to 28. Okay. Adam predicted Kirby to win and himself to lose. So he stays on 23. So the scores are Mary third place at 20, Adam second place at 23, and Kirby winning with 28.
You know, it really hacks me off because at the beginning of this quiz, I forgot to play the opening quiz music. So sorry about that, Debbie. So we'll play the closing one just for the sake of it.
No problem.
Nothing coming through on the Facebook feed. Okay, now it's the time of the show we don't normally have. This is a one-off. It's the FanTTCon Q&A. While I am on the stage without Ben Shoveler, but being Q&A'd about FanTTCon. Who'd like to go first?
Did you enjoy it, Adam?
To a degree.
Yeah, it's a difference when you're the one running around running everything.
There was an awful lot of running up corridors. It felt very Doctor Who.
Yeah, there was a lot of running up corridors.
Like, where are you going? I'm running up a corridor. I've got stuff to do.
I did find it a bit frustrating that when I got home after Sunday, realised I hadn't got any bumpers off everyone. That was the thing that really annoyed me the most. I got the portraits, got some nice photos.
I have to run upstairs for just a minute.
Oh, well, that's just great, isn't it?
Doing the Q&A.
Yeah, I did get some nice photos. We also met some nice people. I mean, I don't know if we've alluded to the Friday side of things, in which the other Debbie got very, very sort of put upon, because obviously the other Debbie had to go and sort of give us some comfort at the college, because I had to go to Southampton because Colin Baker specifically wanted to be met at his car, and there's a further more story to this one. So I literally had to go. Trouble is, I got to Southampton to find that he was delayed on the M3 by an hour. So while I was sat in the ferry terminal, various people went past me, starting with Robert Shearman, who I just had a call from Alistair Pearce saying he dropped his sixth Doctor coat up at the school. So I thought, oh, Ali's in town, right. Okay, I phoned him, I said, can you meet Robert Shearman off the ferry and sort of keep him entertained for a bit, because I'd need to get him up to Newport. So he's, oh, I suppose so. I'd already met John Leeson in the morning. He came over early, so I booked him into his hotel. No problem there. So then I waited and sort of sat down, looked over my shoulder, and Josh Herdman was sort of at the ticket office, so I sort of shepherded him onto the ferry. Then we had Valila Shabalala turned up, very obviously her, because she was stunningly lovely. Beautiful lady with a good bit fluffy barnet. So she was
one of the friendliest stars there. She yeah, really was.
Yeah, it's one of those people that anybody could talk to. She's if you can't talk to her.
Billy and my husband had definitely nursing slight crushes on her.
No, I think everybody had a crush. And I mean, Colin Baker, I pre-warned him that she was really looking forward to meeting him, and he kept on saying, "Oh, she's a lovely girl," and she is a very nice lady, a bit dippy in some ways, but very nice. She's not watching this or even listening to us, but she is. She's just a very nice person. Anyway, so she went on. Then David Finn, I think I met him in Cowes later.
He was lovely as well. He was great.
So we basically got they all got onto the ferry, and I got a phone call from Ali saying, "Oh, have you met Colin yet?" I said, "No, I'm still waiting for a phone call from him." But he was in his element because he'd met Robert Sherman off the Red Jet and then bumped into John Leeson and his wife in the town. So they went off to the pub down at the Globe and got a slightly tipsy, shall we say, and had an absolutely brilliant time. And so Alistair had an absolutely fantastic afternoon while entertaining the stars, while I eventually got a phone call from Colin. That he parked in the appropriate car park, so I got an Uber up to where his destination was, location, sorry, and unfortunately the Uber couldn't stay, so I had to get another Uber to get him back down to the Red Jet. As we went in to wait for the Red Jet, he said, "Do you want a drink?" And I said, "Oh yeah, I'll have a water, please." So he started queuing up at the cafe for a drink for himself, probably a caramel latte, and some water for me. And I looked over at him while guarding his bags and stuff, and two spaces in front of him was Christopher Ryan. So I went up to Christopher, "Hello, madam, I'm running Fancy Car, nice to meet you. By the way, that chap over there is Colin Baker." And "Oh, hello, Colin." Oh. That was quite a funny moment while they all greeted each other. And that's how you may see a picture of me and them sat on the ferry on the way over. So we got over, booked. Valila said that she couldn't get booked in because it was booked under the name Colin Baker. I did pre-warn her of this, but she got a bit confused because she thought there might be two rooms. Why Colin Baker would need two rooms, I do not know, but never. She did get confused. But we got there, resolved it, got Christopher booked into the Fountain, and I then transported Colin and Robert, Colin down to the New Holmwood in my car. I had to wait for him to sign all the things. He was a bit dubious whether I'd actually paid for the room or not, which I, of course, had. Yeah. And he wasn't very happy because there wasn't a lift in the hotel to take him up to the first floor.
Yes, he didn't like that, did he?
No, he's not very easy on his legs at the moment, so he's very slow walking anyway. Yeah. But he wasn't. He was okay about it. He understood. And I took Robert up to the hotel in Newport, came back, and Deb was pulling her hair out and in a right state. Beta Debbie was comforting her, and she didn't understand that I'd been extremely busy over the previous 4 hours. Then I got a phone call from David Finn to say he was arriving. I haven't got time to go and take him to his hotel. So I threw him in a cab and sent the cab on its way to the Woodvale, which is where David's was stayed or what he paid for. So that bit was quite easy. And then Martin Ballantyne turned up quite late, and I had to, after, this is bizarre. Anyway, so we packed up at the school, and I knew all evening I had to pick up the TARDIS via Nick Poynting, and he lives out in the sticks in Winford, in Lakes, really out in the sticks. So I took the van out there. We took ages packing it into the van and stuff.
Everything's all right next to each other.
Shut up. And then I got a phone call from Ballantyne saying he was on the ferry. So I said, well, you might have to wait in the terminal for a bit because I've got to drop the TARDIS off and get the van and come and pick you up. So I did that, went down in my car, picked him up and his colleague up to the Newport, back to Cowes, and I got in about 10:30. So I was on the go from 7 a.m. to 10:30, despite what Deb... sort of thought I was really going for. I know Deb had a real hard time of it. She was dealing with moody traders and stuff like that at the school.
Yeah, the traders just weren't being nice to her at all. When I got there, she was like ready to just curl up.
No, don't blame her. There was no need for them to be mean to her. She was working very hard as well. But she didn't accept the fact that I was working hard as well. Yes, I was quite nice hobnobbing celebrities, but it was still quite stressful because in the back of my mind, I was worried about her because Roy had gone. Roy, the third part of our trio, had left her to it, basically. And Deb's not experienced in, setting up convention sites, or as are none of us, to be fair. But So anyway, that was all over and done. And then, of course, then we had the rigmarole of the Saturday morning again. We've never opened up a convention before, but we got everything ready and we got the card machines working and people started coming in. It was quite busy. And that actually, even though it was busy and awkward because we were on the radios, fortunately we had those booming radios, we were backwards and forwards basically all day. I remember a point in which 2:30 we got upstairs and had a few bites of uncooked quiche. Did I tell you about the quiche situation? Did I tell you about that?
The soccer of the quiche.
We bought loads of food from Marks and Spencer, ready-to-eat food, and I bought it online because it was ready-to-eat anyway, including bits of chunks of little square pieces of quiche. At the end of the event, we took what was left home, put it in the fridge, and Deb ate a couple of bits at home, and I thought, these tastes a bit funny. And it on the packet says, must be cooked. But on the binding, it said...
On the outside packet, it said ready-to-eat.
Yes, slightly contradictive packaging.
Yeah.
So I complained to Marks and Spencer and got a refund. It took all day to get the refund, and it only when I actually said that I worked for Marks and Spencer, or did I actually get the refund? So I might be forwarding that little feedback to head office at some point. Anyway, back to the day. So we had a few issues with celebrities not wanting to have their lunch breaks with other celebrities, so we had to get that a bit sorted out. It was an absolute nightmare.
Then, that was interesting.
Yeah, I think on Saturday was quite a busy day.
I'll just check.
It was fine. It was. They were really nice. We were lucky, really, because all the people there were nice people. Even Martin Ballantyne was okay, wasn't he? He wasn't sort of, quite on the same wavelength, but he was always coming over and asking me if I was all right. He'd have his arm around me. And obviously, I might have met some of the other Doctor Who celebrities before. I hadn't met Christopher Ryan, but he was adorable. John Leeson was very charming.
We had Billy and Alan. There was one point where everybody seemed to be on their lunch. Yeah. So have we got any volunteers who can sit with Chris Ryan or John Leeson? Oh, I'm on my lunch. So I was like, Billy, Alan, can we use Billy and Alan? Right. And then they went and sat with the stars for a while and they absolutely loved that, didn't they?
Yeah. So, and we had Colin Baker. We had a limited amount of Wi-Fi, but Colin insisted on watching the cricket on his phone, which impacted on the bandwidth for the Wi-Fi.
Oh dear.
We had the Nerf activity and the laser tag activity, who they were giving free games up because they were enjoying it so much, and even though they didn't make any money, said can they come back next time. Star Wars zone was absolutely amazing. It was huge. It was brilliant. The Stormtroopers were fantastic. The comic coffee went well. We had the photo ops was too far away than I actually wanted it to be. We had to move it because Vijay said we had to have an anxiety room, which wasn't used, thankfully, but it was a waste of a room.
We could have put the photo ops there.
They've just sat there for 2 days doing nothing, bless them. So that was one of the things we learned from it. We're not going to have a big anxiety room. We might just have a room that we just sort of use, hopefully won't at all, a small room, that we can maybe use. At the end of it, we struggled, obviously, to have to get the money together. And we did have the money. We just didn't want to spend too much of our own money. But we did spend some of our own money on it because it was an investment in the event. Same with Roy. We paid everyone. They all looked up. Some of them were a bit, I shouldn't really be taking this money off you, sort of thing. Because they obviously didn't make their money. Especially Josh Herman, who's a lady who couldn't be bothered to sit at his table and earn the money. He kept on going around and getting free selfies with people, which was very irritating.
Yes, he did.
You were moaning on Saturday that you're... guests were not making their money, so
that's
you
not
were
their
very
fault,
depressed.
Yeah, but not all of them. Some of them were there. Some of them were trying to make the money, but Josh wasn't really that bothered. He just went around and kept on going to the toilet and stuff like that. But we got the money together for him, so we've paid everything, and that's what I'm quite proud of. Even though it's our money, we've done the event to invest in it, so we hope not to have to put our own money in there, but we did. And Colin Baker was particularly nice. He waived his travel expenses. But the funny story about that was after he went, I got a message off him saying, it's £50 short. Have a drink on me. And I was I don't think it is. I had a post office expert counting it, and you had your £50 float. And they said, oh, yes, you're quite right. My apologies, he said. So
he'd miscounted it himself.
He wavered his travel expenses, which was very generous of him. And Christopher Ryan was very surprised and concerned that he had all his correct money in his envelope, as was John Leeson. All in all, a delightful bunch of celebs. And I didn't obviously have a chance to speak to them properly, apart from when Valila, who already owes me £80 anyway, said that I was a £5 short of her money, so I had to go down and give her a fiver in the evening, and that's the time I actually managed to have a chat with her about her, you know, a possible forthcoming career in America that she's hoping to do. So yeah, that was that's part of my experiences at the event. I did enjoy the podcast on stage. It was quite brief, but we got it done amazingly. I can't believe we actually managed to do that, and that's for the talents of Roy and his technical abilities. We put that together.
I was able to actually hear it.
But I will say, though, not being there for any of the panels, we relied on Ben to do the interviews properly. We lost the recording of most of the first day because I forgot to delete the files off the recorder, but we got enough to get a couple of important interviews. And the second day, everybody was on stage anyway. We got the whole of that, and all of that is in episode 416 of the show, which is the FantasyCon special. Yes. So, and I've listened to it back. It's an absolutely brilliant show, fascinating interview. It's a bit of a 3-hour show, but it's really worth listening to.
It's really good.
I'm really proud of that particular. I could have spoken to them myself.
Isla had the best weekend ever.
She did.
She was in all the cosplay photos, and just everyone in the trade hall was absolutely enamored of her, and just, you know, she was helping everybody, and she was great. Yeah, and we ended up looking after Paul's son for a while both days, and yeah, she was just stepped up beautifully.
I did feel a bit guilty, obviously, because you were stuck at the 20 megabyte table for the whole weekend. We didn't sell much Lavazzi stuff, unfortunately, so that was a big loss for us, because it cost £45 to send it back to him. So that was a bit of a shame.
I got to talk about the podcast a lot to people.
Good.
And I was right there for the stars who may have lost their handler, and I was right there to be able to radio through for anything.
Good.
So I was in a prime spot to be helpful, and that's the main thing, because that's what I was there for.
The problem was I didn't set up, obviously, a streaming of the show, which I meant to do on the iPad. I just didn't have time to do things like that. We got the viewing tent going, and we only really showed two stories because I didn't have time to change them over. I had a great big pile of discs, but we didn't have time to.
Everybody loved it though. Just
there's people in there.
On repeat was just
what two stories?
Oh, Megloss and Full Circle, I think, were the two stories.
Okay.
Yeah, and the problem is I don't.
One cool thing, Valele is now following me on Instagram.
Who? Oh, well, I'll have to have a word with her about that.
Well, that means she's going to end up with a Thursday post.
I did email Bonnie. I did email Bonnie to say she is the ideal guest at a convention. She's such a nice person. So I told Valele that I'd told her that. So hopefully she'll be at Conquistadors and you'll see for yourself how lovely she is. So there you go. Did you see much of it? Were you sat at your table, Debbie?
I didn't see any of the talks.
That's my fault. I'm sorry.
It was running through. But a lot of people came to the table. A lot of people went past the table, and they got to know who I was as well. So it was great that people just come up and go, oh, can I talk to you about this, or can I ask that, and that sort of thing. And it was towards the end of the first day that I managed to go and actually talk to Simon Butcher-Jones and
I didn't get to speak to him at all, really, apart from hello, goodbye.
Just actually go and talk to them and just talk about stories and things that they've written and been part of and the books and things. And I've got one of Simon Butcher-Jones' books written with Kelly Hale, Grim Reality. I've got that signed and looking forward to reading that with Isla, because that's definitely a sort of a fairy tale take on a Doctor Who. And I would have liked to have seen more, but I wasn't there for fun. I was there to be helpful.
Yeah, but we were supposed to all be there for fun and work, really, but it ended up being work for the whole thing.
It did surprise me how many of the volunteers would disappear off to
talk. I will say, though, having said that, they were brilliant.
They were brilliant.
Aaron T. Butcher says, Chris Ryan was a pleasure to sit with. Billy Kirkbright says, hello.
Hello.
He got to sit with John Leeson. We managed to get all the celebrities together for a big team photo because he was supposed to have that as part of his VIP ticket. The other VIP guest didn't come on Sunday, so he missed out on that particular. Or maybe didn't know he could come for 2 days. I don't know, but
I didn't actually meet this other VIP.
You didn't. He was dressed as the Seventh Doctor. Very good cosplay he had. He's the only real clear Seventh Doctor cosplayer.
Isla's here. Can I just ask her, what did you think of FantasyCon? Wonderful. There you go.
That's right to her. That's going to be our slogan for next time. Yeah, so Billy Kirkbright says, Chris Ryan and John Leeson are two exceptional gents. They are indeed. And Alan T. Butcher says, Isla was a star. So it's quite funny because I always got doing the rounds and I'd say, hello, Billy, sorry, I can't speak. Hello, Alan, sorry, I can't speak. And it was really bad because these people had come and I wanted to speak to them. But they were in the audience for the show.
That was quite everybody funny. Based themselves at our table and, you know, they knew they could drop their things off. And
I bet they did.
Yeah, they'd come and sit. Billy or Alan would come and sit with me for a while. And, you know, it was good. And you were good, weren't you? You were helping all the stalls, weren't you?
I think everybody there had fun. But all the vendors had fun, apart from maybe one, maybe two at the push. But everybody else said that they had a really great time. I say it was a bit quieter on the Sunday.
Did Ben have a good time being the one interviewing everybody on stage?
Well, Ben loved it. He had a really good time, yeah.
It's great to meet Ben at last. I went up and just put my hand out in front
He's
of him.
He's a natural. And Jenny Linden, absolutely. Yeah. Jenny Linden absolutely adored being interviewed by Ben. And she's a, you know, a seasoned thespian. And so Ben obviously knows what he's doing. I will say, though, she thinks she gave me a load more pictures than I actually had and gave back to her. So I'm a bit worried now because she thinks I've stolen some pictures off her. But I can't find them anywhere. And I seem to remember when I spoke to her in the pub that I said these aren't any good and gave them back to her and just took the ones that I needed, but because she says I have maybe got them, I'm a bit paranoid because I can't find them anywhere.
Well, maybe ask the pub.
No, they won't be in the pub. No, she only lives a few steps away from the pub. She took them away with her, as far as I can make out. So that's a bit of a worry because they're not here, or at least I can't find them. And she thinks I've got them. So and they said they're one. She says they're one off. So it's a particular worry of mine. So
just say something else about the con. What are you going to say?
I think it was quieter on Sunday because it was all the late.
It was a really hot sunny day and everybody was down the beach.
Yeah, everybody was at the beach, weren't they?
Yes.
Yeah. Only a few feet away.
Well, essentially.
Went on the first day. Yeah, so what do you think? One day next time?
One day.
Yeah, I think so.
Everyone has fun one day.
Yeah, and everyone has fun.
Yes.
So it's even busier. Yes, that's right.
It was a good event.
I'm disappointed there's not a whole lot of video out there.
We shot a video, but I'm not that keen on putting it out because Deb shot it before, more or less before we had opened on the Sunday, so it was really, really quiet, so it wasn't very good representation. I know. Saturday was really, really busy, which is great. I mean, it was quite well attended. So, Alan T. Butcher says, meeting John Leeson, reputedly the original Kirby Bartlett Sloan, was great too. Talking of John Leeson, I will show the viewers, I've got five of them, what I got on my canine.
Has the big canine gone yet? Or are you still dog sitting?
No, I'll tell you about that in a minute as well. It says tail wags from my Isle of Wight master, Adam, from canine John Leeson.
Did you get your picture taken with every one of the guests?
I didn't get my picture taken. Oh, have you? Well, not necessarily at the event. I did a couple of ones, but obviously I met them out and about, so I had some selfies with them while I was bringing them over. I didn't get one with Martin apart from the big group picture that the management team got done.
I didn't get any selfies actually.
You didn't?
No. Did you get any selfies?
Yes, I got one with Josh and one with Vela.
Yeah. I met Vela in the that's the only one I got apart from the big group picture at the ferry terminal in Southampton. Should have had some more already, but yeah, it's really good. No, it's good. Good time.
On, Tom's got something that Colin said to him.
Oh yes.
What was it?
Guys might like it because I was on the ferry back to.
Oh yes, I forgot about that. Yes, carry on.
He did say, "But my dear boy, there are other TV shows."
No.
No.
Yeah,
yeah, I got Tom to take him back instead.
Yeah,
of
I didn't have time. I had to pack away. No. And thankfully, Tom stepped in to take Colin back to his car in Southampton. Yeah. So
all the way back to the car.
Yeah. So it was an experience. I think something we really, even though it was blimmin' expensive, it was something we really, really had to do. One, prove we could do it. I think it's been proven. That's just... need a bit of a recharge before we do another one, especially her upstairs, who's quite traumatized by the whole.
She was, wasn't she?
Yeah, she still is. I think she's proud of what we did and what she did as a team. Very
absolutely fantastic. But yeah, I think she just
Don't do another one too quickly.
Yeah, she's traumatized, basically, and she's still traumatized. I don't know how long it's going to take her to get over it, because it was a bad experience for the way she was treated by people. She was very, very busy. She's walked off her feet. She's got bruises on her ankles where she's been walking around so much. But she, when she's like busy like that, she's in her element anyway. And, you know, she's coped with it really, really well. But she's still traumatised by it. And I don't know how long it's going to take for her to recover. I mean, you know, she, like, the next day when all the positive remarks started coming through, it gave her a bit of a, you know, lift. And she bought the cardboard cutout of River Song. And then you get a couple of, only a couple of sort of negative emails. But the weight of positive comments is massive compared with the weight of negative comments. But that's, unfortunately, she's one of these people that listens to the negative comments, you know. So
yeah.
And you don't want any, but you do get them from time to time. But she, I mean, how many negative comments? How many times have I been sort of moaning about negative comments about this show? And, you know, it doesn't really happen that often, but when it happens, it hurts quite a lot, doesn't it? Because you put your effort into, your heart and soul into something, whether it costs you money or not. And people don't realise, you know, when you post a negative comment about something that's free to view, that you're paying for yourself, for everybody to listen, or in that case, you're paying for people to have fun at a convention. They don't realise, because they've shelled out £25 for their ticket, that you may have perhaps shelled out £2,500 for them to come and moan about it.
Exactly. So, no, I don't. I think some people just went thinking it was just I'm just going to go and buy a load of stuff and not go for the stars or the ambience and enjoying the look around and the talking to everybody. Some people just sort of seem to just walk through, buy something from the pop stand, and that was it.
Yeah, I'm happy for the
guys,
heroes.
There's more to it than that. There's a program here. Look at this. You know? Oh, there's not much on. I got one morning. I think on the Sunday.
There's plenty on. Go down to the end of the corridor and have a go at Tag Commander Games of Foam, and enjoy the Star Wars Zone. They've put that together for your benefit. You know, have a cup of tea at Comic Coffee. There was plenty to do. We had the gaming area, the board gaming area, which was really, really popular. Mick had built all those Lego figures for the benefit of people to come and enjoy them. So there was so much to do there. It's ridiculous.
She's so proud of herself. She beat the Flash at chess twice. he challenged her to a rematch on the Sunday, and it was honest winning as well. That was quite funny.
Yeah, I saw the picture about that. Mm. I'm looking through a set of pictures I hadn't seen before. Who got this? It looks like a plaster head of Bok, the gargoyle.
That was Roy's Bok. Yeah. Roy, our third in command and runner of all our PA and bringer in of celebrities in the morning. He was all over the place. It was his Bok.
That's really cool.
It is cool, yes, I agree. I will say something sprung to mind. I've forgotten now. Who won were there on the Sunday, but I don't think they sold anything. So, and he just said, that's just the way it is at the moment. Nobody wants to buy Doctor Who. So, but who won there?
UK?
Yes, it was. Like I say, Lavazzi beat Who Won by 3-0. We had a charity bookseller came in on the Sunday. I don't think they sold anything. They were gone well before the end of the day. They should have come on the Saturday, the fools.
Yeah, they were charity bookseller, and then they didn't set up. They just put books out in a box and walked away from their table.
How did they?
That's literally all they did. They put books on the table, walked away, and that's all that happened. And then suddenly the books were gone.
And the funny thing was that Griff put a load of buckets that said Fantasy Con on them for people to put money in around his props, and then they don't think got any money in them anyway. It's not really surprising. People have paid to come in, or some people had. Most people had, but a few people had freebie tickets. But like I say, we've got a page on Facebook called Fantasy Con Social Group, and quite a few members of that in a very short space of time are all posting their pictures and videos and stuff that they did at the event. And that is a fantastic platform to see people that have enjoyed Fantasy Con.
Yes.
Yes.
I'm glad you set that up.
So am I, because it's the only place I can get to see other people's pictures. They can't post them on the page on the group. No, sorry, the actual Fantasy Con page, which is a page I put out to publicise information.
Keep this up there so people can anticipate for the next time.
Well, hopefully, if we do one, it'll be October 2020. So it's a long way off. I'm sure that was like a wedding, isn't it? It comes up a bit quicker than you anticipate. But yeah, it's a long way off. Well, this one would have been 6 months. To put this one together, so I think it's a major achievement to have done that. and are come out of it unscathed.
Thinking of a particular guest yet, or
no? I've got some in mind, but I'm not going to say anything about that because it puts it scuppers things, and certainly the booking of those guests won't happen until you know we start the
much closer.
Yeah, I mean, I'll probably say about 6 months again. We'll get it in motion and put everything in place. We can't start really announcing things until about 6 months beforehand. It didn't seem like a long time, but there was a graduated build-up of publicity and ticket sales over that 6 months because most people won't buy tickets until it's really, really close. Some of the hardcore ones will. Perhaps the people that came along and loved it might buy the early birds this time. But at least we've got we start next year with a sort of fandom in some ways of the event. So fantasy con fandom, which we didn't have at the beginning at this time. And we know what we spent the money on we shouldn't have done and what we could spend the money on that might be beneficial to the event. But all in all, it's and it'll be cheaper in October to book hotels and things. So there's lots of benefits of being in October. So yeah, very proud of
the fantasy. You would likely use Cal's Enterprise College again?
Yeah, because it's got everything there.
It's a great place. It's terrific. I don't understand why some people moaned about it. It's terrific.
They were trying to move out of Cowes. That's basically what they're trying to do. That I've put it together as an event for this town. Cowes only has Cowes Week.
In Newport, it's like...
Newport has everything. This town, no. Cowes needs events like this, and that's why we're going to do it in Cowes. Moving away from Fantasy Condos, which will sort of come up over the next few weeks anyway, while I remember things I forgot to say. The Dwas auction, this is on Doctor Who News, by the way. The Doctor Who Appreciation Society has a number of items available for auction on their eBay site. And it's quite interesting to see this signed thing, which the winners of our cosplay competition at Fantasy Con got a signed certificate by all our guests. Now, if they'd actually paid for all those autographs, it might have actually paid for the convention, funny enough. But they got it anyway. The Doctor Who magazine, which I saw on the shelf at a shop today, random place. Actually, down the gift shop down Shanklin Seafront was the Doctor Who magazine with a couple of Cybermen on the cover. Pardon?
That's right next door.
Yeah, right. Sixth Doctor and Perry return in new audio adventures for 2020. And Nicola Bryant looks a bit Perry-ish with her current hairstyle. So that's that one. What else we got here? Candy Jar Books release online Lucy Wilson short story by Sue Hampton. Don't know what that's all about. And there's another Black Archive book coming out. There's a book called Doctor Who, the Target Storybook, with a very retro bit of artwork on the cover, which was really quite cool. 15 thrilling new adventures featuring writers and stars from the hit BBC series. You probably get that from Who Won Online, whowon.co.uk.
whowon.co.uk.
There's also a special edition of the Doctor Who magazine about Target books. And Character Options B&M collection revealed. We've got, I think they're probably not the size that I like my figures to be. I think they're the smaller ones. My figures to be.
I know.
But we've got Cybermen, the Seventh Doctor, and Cybermen, Perry, and it's like a Two Doctors set. The what looks like a short Sontaran, when everybody knows that Sontaran and the tall Two Doctors was tall. I nearly said yes. Tall Doctors was two. We've got a figure of Harry Sullivan and a couple of Cybermen. Sontarans. We've got the Fifth Doctor and TARDIS set. We've got the Fourth Doctor and TARDIS set. We've got a lovely figure of the Eighth Doctor with a Dalek. He's also wearing the Ninth Doctor's costume, which is interesting in itself. It's called the Eighth Doctor and Dalek Interrogator Prime Action Figure Set. Wow, these are really cool actually. If they're the right size, I'd buy them. But they look like they're the smaller figures. I like my 5-inch figures, as I've said before. And there's also the Seventh Doctor in slightly different costume. But yeah, lots of new figures coming out, which you probably can't buy easily. Remember the Doctor Who figures were everywhere, weren't they, when Doctor Who came back? And you can get most toy shops, but there is a limit to where you can buy these items. I think the Entertainer's not too bad online. So I got my Big Bang Theory collector's items off there, but I'm still lacking in Howard. That's the Big Bang Theory Funkos, where they're all in cosplay. It's my favourite set of Funkos that I've actually got now. And I was thinking about bringing them along to Fantasy Con because they're in cosplay. But I'm a completionist, and I felt that Howard should be among them if I'm going to take them along at all. And then in hindsight, when Penny and Sheldon got taken away from Fantasy Con, it was probably a good idea for me not to take them. But there you go. They did return, hasten to point out. Penny and Sheldon are home. So there you go. I think that's Doctor Who news. I think I missed anything. It's all done. That's Doctor Who news done. So that essentially is it. I think next time, as far as I can make out, Full Circle is the story that we'll be looking at.
Could you get Andrew Smith to join us?
Again, this is the sort of thing that should have happened in hindsight, with my being a little bit too busy at the event. But
I've made friends with him on Facebook. I could approach it for you.
I can approach you, silly woman. I've been speaking to him online. I don't know. I'll think about it. But he won't. He doesn't normally do live podcasting. but we'll see how he has been on the show before.
When would we be doing this? The 8th?
Maybe he could send next Sunday. Us a soundbite or something.
I don't know. But if you listen to he is on the last show talking to Ben. So, I don't know if he does talk much about Full Circle specifically. He just talks about the stories and the writing he did at the time. So, that's about it, really. I thought something did come to mind.
When are we recording?
Next Sunday.
Okay.
And it will be Full Circle. Are you writing that down?
Yes, I already wrote it down.
And, of course, the Staggering Stories team, like I say, I'm hoping that the beginning of this episode will have a few sound bites from the recording. Here's one here that I can just play to you. You might will illustrate my problems. This is the sound bite from earlier.
What you do in your private life is your own affair.
Hello and welcome to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast, episode 417. I'm here in a pub with the Staggering Stories team. Please introduce yourselves for the benefit of our listeners.
I'm Faye Keith.
Oh, I'm Adam.
And I am...
Two ciders in and a little bit squiffy.
So
you've been on the Isle of Wight.
The trouble with that is that even though I spaced out the microphones as best I could... I was a little bit too far away from the microphone. But if you're listening to these in your earphones, you can actually hear what people are saying. But trouble is, it just hit a wind buffer. If I skip forward a little bit, a random part of that recording, so say the middle.
The listeners know that we actually like that off stage as well as on stage.
Yeah.
And it's
that's a lot better.
Hear that?
I can hear the wind.
That was one of the minor pieces of wind. It drains out all the audio.
It's not too bad. You can hear it.
You can, but trouble is, if I post the whole record, which I'd like to post the whole recording out, I think people would get irritated by that wind buffering thing. So I don't know what to do with it, really.
Well, you shouldn't have let the head of Pertwee breathe on the microphone.
True. He was quite close to it, but there you go. So, anyway, are we still recording?
And
still
where's
live?
That two-hour interview with the head of Pertwee?
Oh, we're still live. There's some very perseverant people out there. With the four viewers at this stage of the show, you really should find something better to do on a Sunday evening. Anyway, so next week we'll be reviewing Full Circle, and Deb and I would have recovered a little bit more from the exertions from FantasyCon, and I will probably be grieving over my lack of a 2-week holiday, because I have actually been off work for 2 weeks and it doesn't feel like it.
I had last week off, and boy, it didn't feel like
and my next holiday is October, and I don't think it's going to feel like it then either. But hang on, we live in hope, we live and learn. But until next time, thank you for listening, watching and taking part in the show, and watching it live at FantasyCon. It may happen again one day, you never know. Goodbye.
Goodbye,
fancy pants. This is Peter Davison, and you're listening to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast.
FantasyCon.
Yes.
Good.
Good, for sure.
Yeah.
I'm sure you've been to lots of conventions.
We have.
Yeah.
Sunday was a bit quiet, but that's why if we do another one, we decided to do one day. And then build it back up to 2 days.
We were saying it felt like it should have been one day.
Yeah. I think it's really hot weather.
Yeah.
Yeah, probably.
And I do have...
one question. I'm not sure if it happened or whether I missed it, but what the hell was the Khan off?
That never happened.
I'm there.
Do you remember Roy, who was doing all the sound stuff, right?
Yes, yes.
It was his idea. Of all people who was there at the stage at all times, should have realised at some point he should have said, right, it's time for a Khan off. So that's never ever going to happen now.
Yeah.
I take it a Khan off is just lots of people shouting Khan.
Yes, basically. It's,
that would have been awesome. Reenactment.
I don't think it's supposed to be lots of people. I think his idea that people can get on stage and just do their best Khan.
Best Khan.
I don't think that had a lot of Star Trek
cosplayers. Lights just come on.
No.
I was hoping that would happen, actually.
Ping! Otherwise, we've just had an idea.
We're at a very nice pub called the Waverley.
Yes.
Had a rather nice meal.
It was really good.
Yes.
I had a ham baguette with some chips.
Sounds very good.
And it was lovely.
It's basically a burger.
No,
ham sandwich.
I see Wendy's ham baguette with a burger bit. It's nearly hamburger with a pectin, you know.
Such a
pleasure. Yeah. Rump steak, very good rump steak.
Yeah.
And it turns out we're in an Airbnb at the moment, and it turns out that we're about 20 houses away from a guy I grew up with. So I'm going to go and see him tomorrow.
It's a very small world. It's funny, you know, when I've gone to London, I occasionally see somebody I sort of know.
It's like
when I went to Ibiza once and met a chap that is a presenter on Isle of Wight Radio. And also, me and my wife used to go to a place in Bentley called Teddy Bear's Picnic. It was our regular sort of, when we didn't have kids, we could afford to go out to eat. We used to go there every week. Did our first holiday, went to, it was Kefalonia, sat down for our meal in our hotel, and the owners of the Teddy Bear Picnic were on the table next to us. Bizarre. This is
so
funny, isn't it?
It is. So can I say hello, Duncan?
Oh, yeah.
I don't know why I waved at you. You
can
see that.
Duncan? You're Duncan.
Lives 20.
I think he actually listens quite a way to you guys.
Yeah.
We don't have a lot of listeners on the island for that much. But I think the most listeners we've ever had on the island is when we did it live on the stage. We've had a few people dabble. There's a chap who actually listened to the stage performance was Ashley Hughes, and he used to, when we do the live link, live feed. He occasionally sort of watches it for about 5 minutes, pops in the hello, and then disappears.
We've got 9 listeners.
Oh, well, maybe.
Yeah,
maybe.
I think it's 9. Yeah. Yeah, I counted.
8 really? More than we've got. The trouble with our show is we ended up putting our listeners on the show. Which is always a bit of a mistake.
No one wants to
come to
Kirby.
No.
I wouldn't bother with that.
It's not like the Isle of Wight. Yeah.
For some ways, it's quite good we keep Kirby at a several thousand miles distance.
He did shout hello, Head of Kirby.
He did indeed.
I must get you. Is he here?
He is.
He's a little bit drunk at the moment. He's been on the tipple.
The con, say for Saturday, because that was slightly busy. It was a bit more atmosphere on Saturday.
I liked Josh Herdman. He was good.
Mm-hmm.
It's nice to see him doing so well.
That's when he was sat at his table, not disappearing into the toilet.
Oh, okay.
I thought it was those quiches that we served. We got these quiches from M&S, and we bought everything for the green room from M&S, and we clicked on the button that said ready to eat.
Mm.
Including these quiches. Okay, so served the plant.
Yeah.
They were left to some when we got home on Sunday. Put them in the fridge. Dev thought, well, I'll eat some of them. Ate a couple. Went, tastes a bit strange. And looked on the bottom and said, must be cooked.
Oh, God.
The binding that said, ready to eat. So the binding off, must be cooked. So I complained to M&S and got a refund. I don't think he was ill, but I was just thinking about Josh's constant on his phone and disappearing from his desk. He was actually a really nice chap, actually.
Yeah.
Well, he is on that water training.
He's given up cigarettes as well. So.
Oh, that's going to be a bit twitchy.
But him and Tom, Debbie Merrow's husband, got on the house on fire, and apparently he's coming down to do some sailing on the island.
Excellent.
Tempt him back again.
Drag him into 20 megabyte towers.
Colin Baker, as always.
He's always good.
Always a good laugh. Yeah. A bit of a gravelly voice this time. He'll be doing any big finishes.
We loved the Star Wars stuff.
Oh, the Garrison.
The land speeder and the pod racer.
That was the biggest set they've ever put on the island. And I was hoping it was going to be as grand as it was, and that they really
That was fantastic.
They pulled out all the stops.
They did.
Did you like the ABBA tribute?
Ab-
Kappa tribute.
Was that Amnesia?
No. The Stormtrooper dressed as Superman.
Oh, that's it. Okay. I saw the Superman.
On the island, there's quite a high manga anime. But those costumes were fantastic.
Yeah, I think it's because they can really customise them and make up their own characters. Yeah.
When they went up and he's like, okay, what's your name? Oh, Kosu. And who are you? And they said, I've never heard of any of them. My favourite of
we
the...
We are old bleeps. So
my favourite of the cosplayer. Sorry. And what's your name, Tegan? Oh. And what have you come as? I'm a unicorn.
Yeah.
She was awesome.
Well, she that one, the one that on Saturday, the fluffy thing. She did the come of the carnivores because we were doing the carnivores to give out leaflets, and she was telling me about she was going to enter it as this fluffy thing. And that fluffy thing had been going around the convention the last couple of years, which obviously perfected it now.
Yeah.
Born a hot sunny day.
Oh, God, yeah.
I just got wing tapped by the.
He does.
That's why when I was sort of organising the convention, I was really looking forward to what people were going to do with the cosplay, and I was really pushing it, and they really did well. Anyway, back to Doctor Who. So you say at the beginning you were...
I had to write a thing for the Independent saying why I didn't want the Doctor to be a boy, to be a girl. It completely changed my mind when I saw how these young girls were reacting to it.
But somebody argued, it's a shape-shifting time lord thing, blah, 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 blah. So, and a science fiction fantasy TV aspect is perfectly acceptable.
She and he now travel around in a box that's bigger on the inside. You've got a problem with them being able to do something that various breeds of frog can already do. I've got no time for people saying, oh, it's become politically correct, it's become, you know, blah, blah, blah. It always has been. There's always been a message there.
Yeah.
But sometimes it felt too forced this time. But then you had episodes like Rosa, Demons of the Punjab, and the Amazon one. Kablam.
Were absolutely brilliant.
Although
the time travelling bloke in Rosa, I thought, oh, okay,
seems
that's
a bit
redundant.
I thought, well, he's gone. We're probably going to see him again.
I mean, never did. That's what we thought. He'd show up at the end.
They did have a villain problem.
Yeah,
in that season. I don't think there was a decent
villain.
Which
is why next season we know what's
going to
happen.
My basic attitude to it is they've changed everything. They changed all the production staff, the writing staff, and it's like the first series of anything.
And the time and day it went out as well.
First series is there was something there to bring me back. Didn't gel, but there was something there to bring me back. Second series, like. Is the decider. That's the one where things should be gelling.
It's a bit like
the
Davison era, isn't it?
Yeah.
When Bradley Walsh was cast, it was like when.
This is why I had no problem with it because we were among the ones who went, Billy Piper, what on earth are they thinking? And then we saw her in the Canterbury Tales and thought, ooh, actually. And so like you said, Catherine Tate, same sort of thing.
You need to shut up
when it comes to casting because they tend to know what they're doing.
Oh, and they void cast brilliantly and you do.
Well, as I said, certainly in the series that's just gone, I think Bradley Walsh has been the heart of
the
Absolutely.
If they weren't going to cast a woman as a Doctor, they could have cast him. Like, people would have moaned, and of course, once he got into playing it, he could have done that part quite easily.
I do think three companions was too many.
Yes. Yaz and Kate.
Yaz and Ryan, they tended to suffer. Particularly Ryan, because she's got some acting chops to her.
It did seem that if there was going to be lines, they were going to go to Ryan rather than.
Yeah. We've never had a time when the Doctor's had a companion, one companion the same sex as the Doctor, have we?
On their own.
Apart from Jamie and the Doctor, but that was always overlapping.
You overlapped with Victoria, or you overlapped.
There was a Turlo, wasn't there? During
Between Resurrection and Planet of Fire. Yeah.
It was never televised. It was never televised because we had Perry.
And I suppose there was Adric briefly.
Very briefly. Yeah.
Might be interesting to have the Doctor, a female Doctor with a female companion.
Yeah,
that would be quite good actually. Well, like you say, I probably would prefer, but I actually like having Bradley Walsh in it, to be fair.
Yeah,
I do think there's a quite sort of a good dynamic between him and Jodie.
And the Doctor, yeah. He's absolutely. I knew he'd been an actor beforehand, and it got kind of sidetracked into the game show thing.
Yeah, that's it, you forget.
He was a footballer, though, wasn't he?
He was, yeah.
Was he?
Yeah.
But the episode with worst parent in the world, that in Norway, with scaring his blind daughter.
I love that story.
That was fantastic, but that was bad parenting. Oh, yes, it was. And when Graham meets not Grace.
Yeah.
He just, how the hell do actors do it?
Yeah.
Just one tear.
Yeah.
I mean, they can do that
CGI now.
No, that was real. He's just crumples.
He's so good, isn't he? Yeah. He's got charisma. He's got that screen presence that you just want to watch him.
Even
when he's on the chase, you know, just it's Bradley.
I've been watching some of the chase. And
Colin
when
Baker,
he just...
I've recorded the Colin Baker one because he said he was on it. Well, no, actually, Ben said he was on it.
He just collapses in fits of giggles. But some of the stuff that they've been putting up on YouTube and on the BBC, on the Doctor Who channel, they seem to really really get on, all four of them.
The lip sync battle.
Debbie Melrose lives very close to where I live. She used to come round and record in the house. But where we do our show at 7 p.m. on a Sunday evening, and Deb and Izzy go to bed, therefore, her giggling's a bit too loud.
Oh, really?
So okay. She got banned.
I think I claim the record for the only person who's actually gone to bed in the middle of a podcast.
You had, yeah. You did.
It was very well, though.
Yeah. Andy Nunny has the what would you call it? The title, I suppose you call it, of the only person ever to fall asleep during the podcast.
He did it
twice. We did a live link up with Conker Sturbris, and we were just talking to some celebrities over Skype, and you heard this. Who's fallen asleep?
Interesting conversation.
Andy? Yeah, what? You fallen asleep? No, I'm fine. Okay, so I carried on for a bit. And he did it twice within the history of the show. It was great to have on, but
that's what I find strange is you doing it over Skype. It's with us, we're all in the room at the same time, and we're bouncing off each other, going in a manner of directions.
We used to do it on Skype video.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, Andy Nunny, when we used to do that, used to sit in his garden with his iPad in between his legs, wearing a dressing gown.
No!
Yeah. It became a little bit too dangerous. Too distracting.
Yeah, I can understand that. So most of the time, if you were sitting in the corner of the room, you can see us go. I've got something to say, my hand's in the air.
And that's only because we've started learning.
Yeah.
You know, usually it's just everyone butt in and interrupt.
Yeah. Shut up, Adam,
we've managed to weave Kirby's interruptions, which is basically all the time, into the sort of the part of the show. So we just basically start reviewing a story or an episode or whatever, and I'll get just past the title sequence and you go, Master! So my daughter Alicia was a really good, we're really good mates in those days, but she's a bit of a pain in the house. She's 21 years old, she's gone off, she's left home, and she's done all that stuff. So she's got her own mind now, but at that time,
it's annoying when that happens. Yeah.
She was mad about Doctor Who when David Tennant was a doctor, and it's not about David Tennant, it's just about that era.
Yeah.
It just caught her, and I think it was really Dalek. And I didn't really speak to Rob Shinn about this actually, but that story got Alicia into Doctor Who.
Oh, right.
And I thought, how do I get this onto iTunes? I could not work out how to get it onto. So I did about five or six episodes. I just gave up because I couldn't get it any further.
Yeah.
And then I just did a little bit of research a bit later on and found how to get it onto iTunes. We did a pilot. It went on iTunes. Then I could see it there. I thought, right, we'll do the podcast then.
Mm.
And because it's there, we got more engagement, and we ended up doing TARDIS Tavern and stuff like that, which has been a bit inappropriate for a 12-year-old. But we did it. It just sort of picked up from there, and it just becomes addictive. Once you get past that first few thing, it's just addictive because you get these people coming that you don't really know. It's like with Kirby, he entered a competition to win a bag of jelly babies.
Aww.
And I think he was just online on Skype, and I clicked a button, he came on, had a chat, and he just stayed on.
Yeah.
Never rid of him. And then, of course, and then Isabella, Alicia just grew away from it because she was always wanting to argue it and stuff like that. It was irritating. And listeners loved my irritation. I didn't.
Yeah.
Ben Shoveler came on and just added a bit of banter and a bit of fun to it because, again, he knows Doctor Who, but we'd review a story, we'd bother watching it, we'd just do it off the cuff. You know. COVID came on, a bit more serious about it. And it was a little blend which gradually blended into what we've got now. The current team, I think we've been doing it for about 5 years. We started the journey, which is starting with all the stories back to back, including what we've never done before, which is watching all the stories, which, the missing stories, and being reconstructed and stuff like that. Yeah.
For me, it was, at the time, it was this complete turnaround. It was this tired-looking, rather sad, wobbly-setted show to this flashy plastic. You know, it was a completely different direction. It was suddenly
into the 80s,
it suddenly reignited my interest in the show. I was in at the point.
Of, say that.
I was at a point of turning it off.
That reminds me of the $6 Million Man that I was absolutely addicted to in the 1970s.
Yeah.
And it finally came out on DVD. I bought the first series, put it in. I thought, this is terrible.
Yeah. Hate to quote J&T, but memory cheats.
Yeah, that's a good point. Yeah. So, I mean, there are some things that I can probably watch that I used to like when I was a kid. But it disappoints me because $6 Million Man, I used to walk to school like this.
slow motion. Yeah.
And when the Incredible Hulk came on, you know, with Lou Ferrigno Hulk and Bill Bixby, I used to get annoyed in a very sort of. Very good influence on children.
Dun 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 dun. Dun.
It's funny. I always had. I've told you before. I've always had memories of this episode of The Incredible Hulk, which involved a water wheel and twin girls, and one of the twins died and was haunting the other one because the other one pretended to be her because one twin was the favourite. And I always remember it being terrifying and sad and that. And I found it on YouTube the other day, and it's a bit crap.
It's funny to say about the Hulk thing. I always ended up missing the first episodes of these things. I missed the first episode of $6 Million Man, which I did get to see on that DVD, which disappointed me. And I never really got to see the first episode of Incredible Hulk, and I always thought that was really frustrating. So I wanted to see how it ended up like this, you know.
Yeah.
But it's funny how the Hulk has ended up in new Marvel world, you know.
It's
got a bit of a comedy character now. And whereas the old Hulk had muscles, but he was a bit fat, whereas the new Hulk sort of just completely computer generated and over the top.
But still, these amazing unrippable trousers.
Yeah.
Stark tech.
But they were denim, very tough denim. Waverley, and I was just seeing that sign. I'm pretty sure that the Waverleys did exist, that boat, because occasionally you see it.
There's some campaign going on about trying to save it.
I took some pictures of it last year, actually, going travelling down the Solent. It's quite exciting to see an old ship like that going. I didn't realise it was a Waverley until I saw somebody else had posted something on Facebook about it. But that would make a good prop ship. It actually reminds me of the ship from that famous Capertory story.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Carnival of Monsters.
Yep.
So how are we going to swing that back to Doctor Who again?
Considering you swung us away from it in the first place.
But yeah, I mean, it's thinking about all that sort of programmes that were on in the 70s, I mean, like, and 80s, Jenny Linda was sort of talking about Tales of the Unexpected.
Yeah.
But she couldn't remember the one she was in or anything.
That's the point. Yeah. We had the discussion of what Big Finish could do next. Tales of the Unexpected. They've just bought out, or they're bringing out, Space 1999.
Well, I like the way that America is not sort of reinventing things. They're still bringing back the original actors, like Picard's series as well.
Yeah.
I can't wait for that. But the tantalising preview that they put on with Seven of Nine.
Like Adam said,
watching Voyager at the moment is fantastic. It hasn't disappointed me.
Watching
Voyager.
That's the trouble.
I never got into it.
Besides a couple of episodes, I think Voyager disappointed me the first time.
It did,
around.
Yeah, me
I
too.
I think the thing that annoyed me was the same thing that annoyed you, is the fact that they're in this. The Delta Quadrant. Completely cut off from anything. That ship should have been held together by string and duct tape.
Yeah.
It always seemed to be nicely fixed.
Yeah, they do. It does get blown up into. You can see these like panels flaking off in certain episodes. But next time it's totally fixed.
Yeah.
But that's 200 years into the future. Maybe quite acceptable.
3D printing.
They've got more than Earth, haven't they?
Now, as Adam said, if the last line of the first episode of Picard isn't make it so, I'll be very disappointed.
He's got to mention something about Earl Grey, though, isn't he?
Well, I think there's a couple of scenes in the trailer. You do have a steaming cup of something next to
you. Cup! That's cup!
That's
cup!
Right. That's Earl Grey.
Yeah, indeed.
Good God, man!
Did you get to see Discovery at all?
Yeah,
I've kind of enjoyed seen the first half of the first season.
You're missing out.
Not really, I've enjoyed it. Kind of put me off because the Klingons were subtitled, and having a sight problem made it unwatchable. Yeah,
Once you got past the Klingon War, because it sort of split into two bits the first season, once you got past the Klingon War and got onto the thing that I can't tell you about because it's a major spoiler.
The Klingons do tend to talk English more as the series goes on, but I can see your point. Don't they have audio description?
That's horrible. Audio description. I'd happily let them. You know what I'd like them to do is what they've done in other places is start with your first sentence in Klingon, then just go over to English.
October, that sort of thing.
We understand they're speaking Klingon. You know, we're not stupid.
Translation convention.
I'm surprised they haven't even thought that themselves. You know?
Well, other people have done it, haven't they?
Yeah. The TARDIS can translate.
Well, they've done it. They have done it in the films, in Kirk's trial scene.
Exactly.
It started off all in Klingon. You went basically through a translator.
And everybody
was talking English. Yeah. So they've done it in the show already.
There's nothing more likely to put people off, if people who have a problem, have a disability like that, than something like that. Pan's Labyrinth. I've been told it's the best film ever, and I can't watch it.
Personally, I know this might be slightly not au fait, but I'm perfectly able to see what's going on. I was reading it and missing what was actually going on in the screen.
That's another good point. Yeah. But I mean, there was they actually incorporated that and into one of the episodes when the Universal
in one of the later
working.
In one of the very later
spoiler.
Episodes,
which is quite interesting because. What's his name? Michael, the main character.
Burnham.
I was thinking of. Yeah, but she wasn't speaking English when it stopped going, which I thought was quite interesting. Spoilers!
I have enjoyed Discovery. I thought it's been very good.
It's hard hitting, isn't it?
It is not. Trek, it is not next gen, but they're trying something different, and I think that's what's annoying most of the fans. Most of the fans are expecting next gen yet again.
Well, I like the idea of doing a long storyline.
Yeah,
yeah.
Modern TV does that all the time, whereas old Trek was always very episodic.
Reset
button. You also want those individual stories, even if it is part of the long arc.
You do, we're getting there to an extent, although still the Klingon stuff I felt turgid.
But again,
I got fed up with the Klingons being in it in the first series. To be fair, I did like the character that Burnham gets. What's his name? He's Klingon, isn't he?
Yeah.
His character I found really interesting because you didn't know whether to trust him or not.
Clem Fandango.
I twigged that. I twigged that almost immediately.
You did.
On IMBD, you had Vok. The actor who played Vok, and it was a complete resume of this actor. And then you had the human version with a complete resume of his actor. Mm-hmm. But if you looked at the Vok actor, there was only pictures of the actor in the Vok makeup. Sitting there for the first half going,
I'm sure before it came out, there was before the casting announcement that one of the characters had changed from being a Klingon to now being a Starfleet officer.
He was initially cast as a Klingon.
But actually, he's now going to be a human character. So that should have been a clue as well.
Yeah.
I seem to remember reading that.
I felt quite smug over that.
Oh, they said it was. Somebody told me that it's almost going to go down the Voyager road. Or
possibly.
Route, I should say. Not necessarily Delta Quadrant,
I can't remember the name of it, but I've got to shout out for the actor who played Pike in the second season.
Oh, yeah.
Phenomenal.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm. That's a shame he won't be in the next one.
Yeah.
And the one that played Spock as well. Although he wasn't Leonard Nimoy Spock, he was really good.
He looked more like Spock when he had the beard.
He did. When he took the beard off, it was really weird.
Yeah.
He looked really weird without the beard, didn't he? Yeah. Rhymes as well.
First season, you had all this holographic technology. Kirk's Enterprise didn't have holographic communications, didn't have choreographic technology. What the hell's going on? It's not the original Enterprise, or not the original Starfleet. And there's a beautiful line between Number One and Pike as they're walking down the corridors. Yeah, we're having fine. The engines are still fritzing up, and apparently the human, the holographic communication system is interfering with the communications. Rip it out. I don't want to see any more holograms on my ship.
So that was it. It was gone.
It was gone. Yeah. That's why there's nothing on board Kirk's Enterprise.
That's really clever. They think of everything, don't they, these writers? And they must be big fans of the show to actually consider actually putting those little bits in.
Somebody in the writers' room has gone,
But yeah, I mean, those, it's when, I mean, no spoilers, but the previous one at the end of the first series when, you know, the NCC 701 came up on the screen. Brilliant cliffhanger.
It's subtly changed, but I still I like the look of this Enterprise.
Yeah,
I've always liked the film Enterprise, the one with the swept back nacelles over the original. Original's nice, but that's my favourite Enterprise.
So the, based on the Enterprise from the movie, the Star Trek one. Which I love. And I know a lot of people hate, but it's got a certain charm to it because it's not like any other Star Trek. It's got that sort of, everybody looks like they did in the TV series, more or less.
Yeah.
But not like they did in the rest of the film series, but it's got a certain sort of outer worldly charm that I really, really like.
It's, to my mind, it's very difficult to do a Star Trek film. By definition, films have to be a major turning point, a major event in a character's life. Luke Skywalker finding the Force, and it completely takes your world up, shakes it, and puts it down completely different. Whereas Star Trek is a TV series, the central characters can't change that much. So it's very difficult to do a film, and it's very difficult to do a Star Trek film, you know, because it has to be something monumental.
If that Quantum Leap came onto Netflix, I'd be watching every... I haven't seen that for years, and I loved Quantum Leap.
You'll be disappointed here.
You're probably right, actually, but I still liked it. that was a sad end. Nope, no spoilers.
I think we've all seen that.
But yes, I loved Quantum Leap. Anything timey one. There's a series on Netflix called Timeless. Have you ever seen that one?
Yes.
He has.
I've watched virtually all of the first series, but... And we watched them all back to back, me and Deb, on one day, and then we suddenly stopped watching them. And I keep saying to her, can we not resume it and carry on? Yeah, so I'm quite eager to continue that.
Only two series, but allegedly they're going to do a final film, TV movie to wrap it up.
Yeah. With the man who may have been the first Black Doctor in it as well.
Probably should have been.
Yeah, I agree. Well, I think personally, I think it should have been Idris Elba. I think there was an opportunity at some point.
Well, it's too big now. Yeah.
Have you seen Neverwhere?
No.
Oh.
It's
that's him playing the Doctor.
It's essentially him, Patterson Joseph, playing the Doctor. The character is so close.
And the Doctor's in it, isn't he?
Yes, the Doctor is in
it. Howdy
is in
it.
Video effects, so the visuals aren't all that great. No. But the story is, and I would recommend it.
Have you seen Good Omens?
Yeah.
We love Good Omens. The two girls
we
doing
did.
The...
I was going to say, those two and, what was her name, Molly, who did the dance, really brave of them to get up and do that.
Oh, God,
that.
Yeah.
Well, one thing, if you're asking for suggestions, you really need to do something about the sound system next year. It was not good.
Well, he had the bass stuff. Well, I think VJ actually came out to me, no one can hear anything. Well, I said, just go to him and tell him to turn the bass down and treble up. And after that, it was for the second. I can actually hear it on the audio that I've put on the show. You can hear that there's lots and lots of bass. It doesn't sound too bad when you listen to it in the car, but actually in the room it's echoing.
Yeah, that's
the more bass you've got, the more it's going to bounce off the great big.
Not just the two doing the singing, but some of the interviews.
The speakers are too small, I think, personally.
Yeah, and it's something I've noticed, and this is not a complaint to you, because it's been a complaint for Whoville a couple of times, is there is too much noise activity. The dealer's room's too close, so you can hear people screaming and running about elsewhere.
It's not like you can do about it in that
environment.
Perhaps one thing you could have done was to tell people when panels were starting.
You know, that would be that's what Deb said. What we could have had is Actually, there wasn't. Somebody said, well, if there was, I think what Roy did, he actually, in the second day, he put, bought a tiny little speaker system into the trading hall, and he tried to do announcements on it.
Yeah.
That might have to be elaborated on if we do it again.
Or perhaps move, because the panel should be the focal point, the central point of the convention. And it was kind of tucked aside. The first time we went to look for it, we didn't think that was it. We thought, oh, it's just some seats pushed up against the wall or something, so we went and looked somewhere else. But yeah, so it wasn't obvious.
That's a good point.
Every battle comes a proper when it meets the enemy.
Yeah, I mean, so when we sort of set it up, because, you know, I put those little those boards to the side. Because two years ago when IslandCon were there, people were just standing there, peering over, even though there were seats available, peering over and watching from the side, and that was then creating a blockage for people who wanted to walk past, and they had to walk down the corridor and walk through the doors. It was a good point when you've got a great big area there. So that's the thinking behind that. There was another way we could have done it, because those seats open up, so you can.
There is going to be another next year.
I can't say. The trouble is, we come away from it because my business and Roy's business put the money into the event, and obviously money from the event pay for things as well. So there's lots of things. We wanted to make sure we paid for everything, because the reputation that IslandCon left the island with was people came away unpaid, and we didn't want that situation.
This is when, major discussion
when,
we had.
Yeah, when the first hint came that was going on, my friend who lives up the roads sent me a message saying, just so you know, I don't know if it's the same guy, but it was a disaster. Which is why we were a bit cautious to start with, but then we realised it wasn't the same guy.
It was someone even worse.
But to be fair to Mr. Belton, who was, I think he's been on holidays with the money, to be fair, because I think IslandCon 1 was very, very successful. It wasn't in the right place. It was too big for the area it was in. Everybody was hungry for convention on the Isle of Wight. So IslandCon 2 comes along. It's my idea to have it at the school, and he did a fairly good job with the layout and stuff like that. I think it was fairly. I think we organised ours a bit better in the way, you know, the coordination was better. Yeah. So there was crew member everywhere. So if you wanted a question, you could go to a crew member and find one.
Oh, God,
And we didn't have that many, to be fair. They just were distributed, and they had radio, so we could do that sort of thing. But he took too many American people coming over, and he just didn't have enough money to pay for anything. So we were determined to, even though we were doing it blind, to make sure at the end of the day everybody got paid. Yeah. So we were going to pay them with our own money if they need to be, and that's what happened. But the money, and it's sort of invested into the event. We won't ever probably get it back. But we're going to have people coming away saying, oh, we had a really great time, we hope there's going to be another one. And our business names are connected to that event, and it reflects on the businesses. Deb came away sort of really unhappy at the fact that we'd spent all the money we'd earned in our wedding business for August and September. But when the feedback started coming through from you know, the people who've been to it, and the photos and the videos and stuff like that, because we didn't really see much of it. You know, we're too busy sort of running around panicking.
Yeah.
And I got particularly frustrated because, oh great, I've got my own convention, I can go around with my microphone and legitimately, without being too worried, where it's in the contract, you would have an interview on the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast. Didn't have time to go around with a microphone. And I actually got so frustrated because John Leeson, he bought an extra, well, we gave him an extra night at his hotel, and I messaged him on yesterday morning. John, are you still on the island? Because I forgot to get a bumper for the show. And he got back to me. So that, I think of all the guests, that's the only one we haven't got a bumper for. Yeah. And he would have been the perfect bumper giver, because he would do the canine voice, which I have got because he did a promo for the convention. I could just tweak it a little bit and turn it into a proper canine voice for the show, and that is so frustrating. And I could have got something out of Chris, because Chris is such a nice chap in here, and you can't imagine the parts he plays. He's so different.
He's
so gentle.
He's humble.
But
I mean, thank me for coming.
I got through Saturday, it went by in a flash, and And I thought, right, tomorrow I've got to take my camera. Deb took her video camera, and I think we videoed things when it was really, really quiet, so I don't think I'm ever going to use it. And I did manage to get, say, got some fairly good pictures, and the portraits I got of the guests are really, really good. But we did get some great pictures. We had Charlie, a lady was going around. She had a pram with a little baby on it, which she was going around taking pictures, and the pictures are fantastic.
Yeah. The baby had the Vincent and the Doctor baby girl.
Yes, yes.
Oh, really? So she was great. And,
the exploding TARDIS.
We did get a picture of that. And I messaged her yesterday, did you get a picture of us podcasting on stage? And the best ones I liked, and Ali, I love him when he sees him, is Alice doing his raffle with Colin on stage, and there's a bit where he's doing that, and I don't think he means to be doing that to Colin. It's hilarious. The V's, listeners, it was a V.
He's such a nice guy as well.
He's been at Capital a couple of times.
We have a convention in Crawley called the Capital.
He does Tom Fate Baker says.
Did he do it? He sent me a text. Do you want me to do Tom? I said, beg your pardon.
Baker says it's very, very clever.
He's
really supposed
good.
To do it. He was on that Q&A and he knew full well, although Ben wasn't advised of this, but he was quite happy. He had a microphone. All he had to do was just switch, and he didn't do it. So that means whatever happens, because he lives in the Isle of Wight and he's one of my best mates, he's going to be at the next convention, whatever. That's going to be only that Tom.
Yeah, yeah. We want Tom.
Yeah, exactly. What's wrong with it? Oh, I suppose I better go. I'll wrap it up and all. What you got to, apart from your ghost walk, what else have you got to do?
Going to see the monkeys.
Monkey World.
Oh, yeah, Davy Jones and Pig Talk. And,
no.
Oh, they're dead, aren't they?
Are they all dead?
Yeah. They're all dead. No, Mickey Dolenz is still alive.
Just. we're going to Monkey World and we might go to Butterfly World. And
I've never been to Butterfly World. Actually, I've never been to Monkey World.
You live on the island and you don't go
to
these.
No, I used to live down that road when I was only about 18, 19. That sort of shows how long that Butterfly Flight World has been there. Been there, should really. I don't know about
the flight. I think these chaps are going to the circus as well.
Maybe. Yeah. Got the ghost.
You'll be right at home there.
Yeah,
Deb wants to go to the circus. I don't really like it. I like Blackpool Tower Circus for some reason, but I don't like
the circus. Way to go.
Yeah.
I like Blackpool. Favourite places.
Really? Wow. I was born in Blackpool.
Yeah. It's one of those things that my daughter, when she was thinking, I want to get off the island, it's boring. She's not like that now, I don't think. Just don't get to see her. She has a life.
They do leave homes.
No, she lives. It's not far away. It's only ride.
Well, there you go. She doesn't live that far, is she?
When she comes home, wants her hair doing or something like that. Doing a whole convention weekend where she had an opportunity to come along and help out, but. Yeah. But a 13-year-old sister was there working really, really hard. It was contrasting children. It's terrible.
What's that?
I sound like I'm moaning, don't I?
What's that? The world's smallest violin.
Yes. Anyway, well, thanks, guys, for allowing me to stick a microphone in your face. I'll see you next year.
Yeah, I'm sure.
On radio.
What have you got to say, Head?
Very well put, I thought.
Yeah.
I shall take a picture of him with his pint.
Well, should we get him a full pint?
Hang on.
Funnish.
It does look rather creepy, doesn't it? It's light. Another Shandy, I think, is probably in order. What's that recording?
Orange button?
Yeah, it had all lights on.
I don't trust this machine.
Orange button?
Orange button.
Yeah, press the orange button.
It's flashing.
Good night, sweet prince.
Megabyte Doctor Who podcast is an APV Services production, sponsored by whoone.co.uk and lavazi.co.uk. We are a proud member of the Doctor Who Podcast Alliance. Doctor Who is a trademark of the British Broadcasting Corporation. No copyright infringement intended.